Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Want to be one of the best brewers there is.
I stopped dressing all in plastic.
You better be brewing 5 to 6 times a week.
A beer, every beer, is made with love, and it begs to be appreciated.
I need something to kill the salmonella I'm kind of worried about in the eggs.
Do you find that that the hops kind of clash with the chicken embryo you put in there?
I might sleep here tonight.
It's a California king. There's plenty of room for both of us, Beavis.
How many of the brewers over there have seen your ass?
That's it. Someone's getting cut tonight.
All I have to say is, hey, McDowell, how you doing?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Session here on the Brewing Network. I'm your host tonight, Justin Crosley. Joining me, Beardy is back in the studio.
Yes.
Still here.
Won't leave.
Still alive.
Yep. I haven't been to Alaska yet.
Again. Wife hasn't often, either before or since Alaska.
Right.
Back in the studio with us this week, the great Sean Sully O'Sullivan.
Hey, 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 I'm back.
Welcome back, Sully. Your appendix has not gotten the best of you yet either.
I'm healed. I had everything checked out.
Healed.
Like nothing ever happened.
Wow. So you don't have to have that sucker removed?
No, it does not have to be removed. I don't have anything else growing in there.
Wow.
I'll send you my login ID for kp.org. You can read all about it.
Yes. You're a healthy guy,
I'm
Sully.
I'm back.
Wow.
Yeah, feels good.
Do you feel better?
I was knocked down for probably 5 weeks.
Do you feel like it was going on before you even knew about it? And okay, so it's not like you were all fatigued and now you have like a new lease on life. It's not like that. It was just during the thing.
I walked off a plane from France on a Friday, and then I took a train here and got sick. Make the connection.
Yeah, yeah. I was just talking with Jamil about this because, Tasty's sick. Jamil's sick. I've had some issues. And we, you know what we came up with? We linked it all back to Pacheco.
We were all there.
We all spent a lot of hours in that garage in the probably tainted ground of Pacheco, a refinery
nearby,
town.
Right. Underneath nearby. Power lines.
Yes.
Yeah, probably, yeah. You know, some sort of Superfund site nearby.
Yes. And we were kind of really talking about this, and I was like, because he's thinking that like a class action suit is probably in your future against the Brewing Network for being, you know, Beardy, perfectly healthy, never set foot in the Pacheco.
And look at that. I think
not perfect.
Right. At least in this area.
Right.
Yeah. So
somebody actually told me that maybe it was from all the lead in Paris from the fire, because I was staying right near Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked around that thing all the time, and apparently there's a lot of lead in the air. And so, like, you know.
That's an interesting concept. I heard about that, too, actually. I read about that. Well, not in the air, but even going back in there to rebuild is kind of, there's a bunch of lead
around. It's in the soil. It's in the water. It's everywhere, apparently.
Lead's real heavy. Mm-hmm. How does it stay in the air for that long?
It's dust. It's lead dust.
Yeah. Okay. Long enough to get in.
I have no idea what
into Sully's lungs.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Into his appendix.
Well, I'm glad you're okay now.
I'm back.
We've got a great show planned for you today. The Long Beach Beer Lab from Long Beach, California is in studio with us, and I'm excited about this one. It's going to be some interesting stuff to talk about. I've already got their beer in my glass. A lot of mixed fermentation that they do, but not just beer that they make there. They also ferment and make bread.
Did they bring any of that?
I don't know, but it was going to be one of my first questions, and an angry one if the answer is no.
Right.
Because I was looking on their website, and it looks so tasty.
Yeah, pastries. They have pastries and what? Yeah,
yes.
Like a whole bunch of stuff going on there.
And they apparently put the bread in beer and the beer in bread, so we get to learn about all this stuff from Long Beach Beer Lab today, which I'm excited about. Today's program is brought to you today, of course, from More Beer, our good friends over at morebeer.com. You can check them out. And while you're there, if you're looking for a new malt to set your pale ales and IPAs apart from the rest, Extra Pale is a modern two-row base malt designed for very light-colored beers. It's germinated like a pale malt to have a high degree of modification for easy brewhouse conversion, but then it's uniquely kilned like a Pilsner malt to have a very light color. The result is a malt that's easily and quickly converts like a true pale ale malt, but is slightly light or lighter than most Pilsner malts. So check it out over at morebeer.com. It's their Extra Pale. So I had an interesting weekend. Last night, I went and saw, for the first time ever, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, hey,
whoa.
Look at you.
I saw the Rolling Stones with my dad. My dad has been a Rolling Stones fan since he was a kid, and I never was. So he had offered to me numerous times to take me to different Stones tours. And when I was a kid, I was like, no, I don't want that. I don't need that in my life.
You're getting soft in your old age?
Well, I always regretted it, actually, as I realized, as my musical tastes matured.
You were listening to Depeche Mode.
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. As my musical taste matured, I was like, man, I really should have taken him up on some of the shows. And then as I got older and every time they toured, I was too broke to go, which I really am now, too. Jesus, are those tickets crazy expensive?
Oh, yeah.
They're ridiculous. I was at like the highest point you could be, and the tickets were like $200.
Wow.
So they are still raking in some dough, these old fucks. But great show. I hate the new. Can I just say that I hate the new Levi's Stadium?
You don't like that?
Well,
oh,
I like.
It's terrible.
Once you get inside, I love it. It's a very nice stadium. Getting to and from it,
yep,
is ridiculously difficult for one of the newest stadiums ever that they built out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
presumably so that you could get to the damn thing. Right.
Well, they did put it in the middle of Silicon Valley, which is already built.
Yeah, but out like in the cuts of Silicon, we're not talking any downtown area here. For example, try to get a bite to eat around Levi's Park.
I have I saw U2 whenever they were back last year, and same thing. I was wandering around aimlessly, like in a I don't know some sort of like office park, like looking for food.
Yeah. Okay, but whatever. So I was a little annoyed getting in there.
Yeah.
Great show. Now. Okay, these guys are old now, right? I mean, everybody knows. I mean,
duh.
But listen, Mick Jagger, he got it. He still got it.
Even after his heart issue.
This fucker just had heart surgery.
Yeah.
He pranced around that stage for 2 hours and shook his little ass and did his little thing, kept flashing his little six-pack to the old ladies up front. All the ladies in the audience would cheer.
It's got to be plastic at this point.
Jagger still got the swagger. Okay.
Huh.
Let's talk Keith, though, right?
Never say that again, by the way.
Jagger's got the swagger.
He's a king of swagger.
It's a hashtag, I think.
Let's talk Keith now. Okay, now everybody knows, right, that, you know, Keith, he's a mess. And he's looked like a mess for years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but he used to look like a cool mess. Like, you knew that he was haggard, but he just still kind of looked cool.
Okay.
Guy gets up on stage, and I'm far enough away that I can't see their face. But they have these massive screens, course. And one of the first things they do is they put Keith on screen. And he looks like they just took him out of a hospital room. An asylum one, by the way. Medical and crazed.
Okay.
Put him on stage. He was like a deer in the headlights, and his hair is like pushing way back, but then sticking up like a fucking Albert Einstein.
Okay, yeah.
And the look in his eye, I swear to God, I just busted out laughing because I was like,
what am I doing here?
He's surprised to be there.
He doesn't know where he is. It was like he opened his eyes and was like, who are all these people? And why are they in my living room?
Yeah.
He was actually unfrozen for the concert.
Right, they thaw him out.
I encourage you at home, because I'm sure there are photos, to go look up photos of last night's concert. And, okay, so I'm already a little startled, and I find it funny.
You're taken aback.
Yeah. Find it funny.
Okay. How are his moves?
This guy. All right. Keith Richards has always been known as his own kind of guitar player. Mm-hmm. And in that, I mean, he's legendary in the way he makes up riffs, rock and roll riffs, the way he kind of plays blues and rock and roll. But he's also kind of known to musicians as a guy who can't really keep time. His time's all fucked up, right? It always has been. If other people try to emulate Keith Richards' playing, it's very difficult. Even though he's playing simple riffs, his timing is just a little off. He hits on the and a lot instead of the one. You know, he hits on the and one.
That's part of his style.
It's part of his style, exactly. And I was explaining this to my brother and my dad, because they're not really musicians. My dad just liked the music, right? And I was like, listen, in music class, we used to try to play him, and that my instructor would tell us, y'all are never going to nail it, because he's Keith. He kind of hangs back a little, or sometimes he jumps ahead. Okay. All that being said, this guy couldn't keep fucking time to save his life last night.
Even to his own music?
And the rest of the band knew it. For the first half of the concert, I don't think he remembered half of the notes. And he stopped playing several times. The other guitar player, Lonnie, is now carrying the band.
Okay.
He's the new Keith.
So they haven't put him on just a track and just play old recordings?
No. Not only have they not done that, his guitar is louder than anything I've ever heard in my life, and louder than everything else on stage. He's Keith. You do not turn Keith down. And if he wants to stop playing, he can do that. Whoever's working the soundboard, I was like, just turn his fader down.
Right.
No, that's Keith Richards.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm enjoying all of this because it's a bit comical. And I also feel like it's Keith Richards. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. I don't care if he's having a bad night. Halfway through, all of a sudden, he remembers how to play.
I'm in.
He starts nailing every song like it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. I cannot explain it. My brother
woke up.
My brother turns to me and he goes, so you see, they saved the good Coke for the second half of the show.
Was there an intermission where they went off stage?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, holy shit, you're right. And then I just had this whole picture in my head of what might have happened before the show start, where Keith goes into the guys and he's like, listen, guys, check this out. I'm going to do it sober this time. And they're like, Keith, no.
Two nights ago.
Yeah. And he's like, no. You just want, I'm feeling good. All right. And then he does the first half, and then he goes backstage, and they all look at him and they go, we fucking told you so, didn't we, Keith? And he's like, yeah, give me
load him up.
Right. Yeah.
Give me the plate.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, man. All of a sudden, the guy could play like a maniac. It was insane.
Well, so he plays a couple of his own songs, right? I mean, he does the vocals on a couple. So what was that like?
Well, that's right where the corner turned, because he did that at the halfway point.
Okay.
Mick finally probably needed a break.
Yeah, he's up and down.
Yeah, and that was about the turning point. He's not that great at his own songs, but the crowd deals with him because he's Keith.
Yeah.
But then, as soon as he finished them and the rest of the show, I mean, he just killed it. After that, they start with Paint It Black, one of the greatest rock and roll songs ever. It's in every Vietnam movie you'll ever see. guy comes out like a bat out of hell. Like
Your beer's also kicked in as well.
Right, yeah.
Maybe you were in a different place, too.
Also, your Coke.
Keith kind of came together.
I had also stopped drinking, actually. I had a couple beers before the show, and then I was just, we were way up there, man. I didn't want to.
Different area code. You're in the 5'10".
It's a lot of stairs.
So I go, my dad, not in the best shape of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's Mick's age, which is like about 70.
And he has a six-pack, too, but go ahead.
Right. No.
Of beer.
No. Guy's on oxygen. It takes us an hour to get from the parking lot to the thing.
Oh, boy.
And it's because the guy doesn't take care of himself. He smoked for years.
With the Pacheco.
He's had the heart done, the whole thing. Okay.
Sounds a lot like Mick.
He doesn't eat right. He's got the sugar. That's what it's it's called diabetes. Yeah. He's got the sugar. So all day, his sugar's up and his sugar's down. Like, do we have to go to the hospital? He's like, it's fine. And then I'm like, and then I can't get close enough to like so that he can walk. I can't, because of the way the stadium works, you have to have like a, I don't know, like a glowing red ADA emblem on your car to get anywhere near. They wouldn't. So I'm like,
really?
I'm like, Dad, we got to walk. He's like, it's all right. Like, I'll bring my oxygen. So he's walking with his oxygen. We're stopping every. I let him out of the car. I go, just, you know what, Dad? And my brother, I go, why don't you guys start walking toward the stadium? I'm going to go park. Okay, as close as I can.
Save some distance, yeah.
So I go park. I'm like, I'll catch up to you guys. I come back. He's made it 8 yards. And he's like sitting at the bus stop having a oxygen bout.
Half of his oxygen's gone.
Anyhow, so at, you know, near the end of the concert, after Mick, he's jumping around the whole time. The guy's great. I'm so happy for this guy. And my dad, he's like, God, that guy's got a lot of energy. He's got it. He keeps saying, oh, he's got so much energy. You know, so he comes out for the encore, you know, jumping around again. God, the energy on this guy. And I'm like, you know, Dad,
that's what happens.
If you'd eat a fucking apple sometimes, I don't like something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, instead of a diet soda, drink a water. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not the healthiest guy on earth, but, you know,
I've read somewhere.
Yeah. You're the same age as this guy.
Right.
You know. And my dad, well, it's different. Okay. You telling me that he didn't smoke? You telling me that Mick didn't do all the drugs and all the cigarettes and all the everything his whole life?
Yeah.
But then, at some point, he decided to take care of himself. You know.
Or he had somebody to take care of him for himself.
Yeah. I mean, and
he can afford a lot more, sure.
He does a lot of cardio.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That's true.
Yeah. So anyhow, I did have this moment, though. My least favorite Rolling Stones song is Satisfaction. Right? It's like everybody's favorite.
You hate that song.
I mean, I don't need to hear it again. That's all.
Well, you're going
to
hear it.
By the way.
You can't get any. That's why.
By the way, I'm sure everybody listening, and you can imagine the makeup of the crowd. Right?
You know. They look like me.
They're all 70.
Actually, they're probably older than me.
Yeah. I was like, I'm the young guy there.
You're the only one without an oxygen tank.
You're running up and down, getting people beers. You're checking on people. Yeah. You need a napkin, ma'am.
Yeah, right. I will say my dad was not the only oxygen tank. There definitely should have been no smoking in that anywhere in that stadium.
There's a whole separate section where you can blow in a lot oxygen tank.
Yeah.
Highly flammable. But they play Satisfaction. Of course, everybody goes nuts, and it's nice to watch people like reminisce. But I'm watching the band on stage, and they're truly enjoying themselves during this moment. And I can tell they're also kind of laughing. And I can't read their mind, but what I would like to think is that they were kind of looking at each other going, we wrote this bullshit song when we're 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And look at us. We're the drummer's like 78 years old. We were at a sold out stadium in California. This place is going nuts. Us idiots wrote this song when we're 18 and look at us, like we're still doing this.
That's not what they were doing.
In a good way. Like I felt like a happy moment for them.
They were counting how many people were there going 200.
Exactly. That is what they were doing.
Like, oh my God. They each get like 2 million each.
Oh my gosh. I actually think that concert grossed like 30 million. It was like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was like $1,100 bucks to get down anywhere near the floor. I don't even talk about the front.
Yeah.
You know, a row below me was double the price at like $400 or a level, you know, a terrace.
Yeah.
I think that. Yeah. So, yes, they are looking.
They're doing very well. That's why they're laughing.
Yeah.
Right.
But they were having such a great time up there that I did. And also, how do you put up with each other? How do you put up with Keith and his goddamn, I can't keep time after 50 years?
Separate tour bus.
But they look damn happy.
Do they need the money? They can't need the money.
I don't think they need the money. No.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe. I mean, they have ex-wives and, you know, extra families and separate islands.
Actually, the opening band was so bad that I was like, this has to be like mixed third wife's distant nephew.
Part of the agreement.
Like pulling in a favor right now for this awful opening band.
Who opens for the Rolling Stones anymore?
True. I didn't even think they'd have one. And then these band, I can't remember what they're called.
I saw the Stones in 1982 in LA at the Coliseum real quick. And the opener was Prince.
Oh my gosh.
And then
love that.
George Thorogood.
Wow.
It was the mid. And then they played. And when Prince came out on stage, everybody booed.
Wow.
Because that was the first. Nobody had ever heard of Prince before. He came out on stage, and then Bill Graham, you know Bill Graham, the concert promoter, came out and yelled at us. I mean, yelled at the entire Coliseum, 50,000 people,
wow,
and just let us have it.
No kidding.
You have no idea what you're talking about here, you know. And that was it. We all shut up because we had to listen to him.
did Prince then play the guitar like a bat out of hell?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Wolf, you know, I didn't really know who he was, so I really wasn't paying attention. I saw this guy on stage and another guy playing keyboards with, you know, a doctor's outfit on.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so you really, you didn't know what you were seeing.
Right.
I was so naive. I was, you know, 4 at the time, too.
Turns into be a, no, turns out, yeah. You wish. Turns out to be a legend. That's a great show, though.
Yeah, it was a good show.
And the Stones put on a good show, right?
They did. It was. I mean, and he moved around just like he probably did when you saw him. It's, I mean, they have not let up.
Yeah. I mean, in my dad's defense, the guy does have a lot of energy, but I just still, the irony of the two, because we have been talking about how they're the same age before, and I'm like, okay, well.
So was the last show you saw with your dad, last concert that you saw with your dad in Connecticut when we saw Bruce Springsteen together?
It was, and we talked about that. We happened to be at the same show with Sully, and Sully had better seats than us, and at some point, Sully's calling me on the show. He's like, just come down here.
There's open seats.
Oh.
Because me and my dad are always cheap. We're always up in the whatever. Mm-hmm. And yes, we talked about that. It was a great night for both of us. Yep. My dad really enjoyed it. We got pretty close and got to see the Boss. He's seen the Boss since.
He's a big fan.
East Coasters are like that. The Boss is like he's a messiah back there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it was a great show. It was a great
time.
They played all the hits. I just, but it was also entertaining between the Keith having to catch up and forgetting the songs and Lonnie, the other guitar player, like stealing the show.
Couple broken hips in front of you.
Yeah. Good. There was a fight.
A broken colostomy.
There was a geriatric fight. A couple rows down. My dad's like, hey, look.
Did they take out their dentures beforehand?
Going at it with their walkers.
All I know is that one of them almost went over the rail. It was gnarly.
Whoa.
These people can fight, you know? You don't mess with them.
Look at all that energy.
Oh, a lot of canes, a lot of wheelchairs, a lot of, I mean, but it's fun. It's super fun. And now I got to see the Stones because a lot of the greats keep dropping like flies before I get a chance to see them. And so this one was on my list, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry about all that ranting, but it was just a fun night, and I thought I'd share it with you. Let me do some quick announcements. Announcements brought to you today by Drake's Brewing Company. You can go to drinkdrakes.com, and they're having their 30th anniversary jubilee this Saturday, the 24th. 30 years, Sully, that Drake's has been doing
this. Wild, isn't it?
It's so cool. Go to drinkdrakes.com, and you can get all the details, but it's this Saturday, August 24th, from 5 to 9 p.m. It's at Drake's Barrel House, and it's like they've set up like a midway, like a little circus. You can go play games. You can drink beer.
Like circus.
Like a circus midway. So go check it out. Go to drinkdrakes.com, and go have some fun over there. You can support us by doing your Amazon shopping. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage. You can also sign up and join the BN Army for as little as $2 a month. You're entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which is a chance to win $100 to spend at More Beer. Plus, you keep this show going and alive. I thank you, all of you who have done that all these years. And for those of you who are about to do it right now, I thank you also. Don't forget, we have a lot of shows here on the Brewing Network. We've got Heads and Tails. We've got Hop and Brew School. We've got the Sour Hour. We've got Dr. Homebrew. All kinds of stuff. So, you know, if the session isn't your bag, go check out some of our other shows. All right. Sign up to get info about us and fun stuff and whatever else happens over on Twitter, Facebook, and whatever, Facetagram.
Yeah,
I don't know what to fucking call it anymore.
Instagram, I like that.
Grindr.
Instagram. Aren't they owned by the same people?
So that's what it's called.
Yeah, Instagram. All right, send your feedback.
It's going to be trending by tomorrow. You heard it here, folks.
Yeah, old guy in the BN says it's Instagram. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm with it.
Yeah. Send your feedback over to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can also send your show ideas there. We love to hear from you so we know what to do. All right, JP is out sick again.
That's right.
So don't worry, not another one with like a crazy
his other thyroid
illness. Yeah, he's just out sick, I think.
Okay,
you know.
Speaking of Pacheco,
just don't want everybody to think.
Yeah, he was there too.
Yeah,
that's true. He had spent
maybe
a lot of time
on
there.
Daniela lately.
man, I got to check on all these people.
She has better health care in Germany.
You know, and where's Doc? We haven't seen him in years. I mean, that's a mystery.
It'll all come out in the class action suit.
Right, yeah.
You'll see. So, Beardy, then, do we have a Twitter game?
Yes, we do, Justin.
Well, check this out. Our Twitter game is brought to you today by the 21st Amendment.
Oh, boy.
Yes, and their new year-round beer, which is Spark Ale. It's a sparkling rosé ale, and it is one of the 2NA's new favorites, and mine as well. It's essentially a hybrid between a cider and a beer, and they brew it with apple cider juice and grain-based sugar, then back-sweeten it with peach, cranberry, and cherry juice. Is it a cider, Beardy?
No.
It is not a cider, that's right, but it sure tastes like one. It's the perfect beer for summer, or any time, really, and it's also gluten-reduced with less than 10 parts per million of gluten for those who are looking for a good ale alternative to those big, malty beers. Only 5.5 ABV, zero IBUs. Go check out Spark Ale at your local retailer.
Have you gotten to try Spark Ale, Sully?
I've had it once or twice.
Yeah.
We have a new flavor coming out. Actually, we tried it this weekend.
Oh.
It's a tropical version. It's pineapple and coconut.
Ooh, nice.
And lower ABV.
Will they all be like variations of the title, like Spark Ale, something else?
I don't know
else,
what we're going to do yet. I mean, I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about it right now.
Oh, okay.
we had our August Fest this last weekend, which is our annual celebration, summer celebration. And we did a test batch of it, and it was a huge hit.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
Look for that sometime next year, folks.
Love it. Okay.
I want to keep this bit going, this spot going. So.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
You're fine. Okay, Beardy, what's our Twitter game?
Well, I hate to already ruin the mystery, but I actually know where JP is.
Oh.
Okay. He's actually not been sick. He's just been quite embarrassed that he's actually out of Twitter game ideas.
Ah.
And so he can't stand to show his face around here.
Right, while you have to pick up the slack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to help him out to get him back here next week.
Okay.
I think we need to help him and come up with some what JP's next Twitter game is going to be.
So let me get this straight. He outsourced a Twitter game to you, and you just outsourced it to the listeners.
This is how delegation works in a company, Justin.
Well done. You're a man after my own heart right now, Beardy.
Doing no work. So, you're doing the work.
So yes.
Tonight's Twitter game is what's our next Twitter game?
What is JP's next Twitter game?
Yeah, not just JP's next Twitter game.
Did you have a busy day, or what happened, Beardy?
I thought this would be funny.
He was into the wild. He was on a bus.
That's right. Yeah.
Shit, okay. Very well, then. That's our Twitter game for today, brought to you by the 21st Amendment.
You're welcome.
I feel like we owe Sully some money back.
I think I want to get a refund on that. Really weak.
All right, let's do some feedback. Feedback's brought to you today by the Beer Law Center. Go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. John Simankiewicz is a great, great attorney at law, and he takes care of my trademark. He can do the same for you, or he could take care of your brewery filings or anything in the beer law world. Go check him out at beerlawcenter.com and tell him that we sent you. And buy him a beer. He's a good guy. He's fun to have a beer with, too. So, Sully, did you listen to last week's show, just out of curiosity?
I might have.
I got to just catch you up quickly, because most of the feedback is about feedback that happened last week.
Okay.
Which essentially was somebody...
Who was on the show?
Eight Bridges Brewing Company.
Okay. Didn't that also happen in last show's feedback also?
Yes, yeah. The best feedbacks happen that way.
This is getting real meta here.
Essentially, somebody...
What happened, Justin?
Somebody, the podcast provider that we are now using, who inserts ads into our shows, accidentally put a Miller... ad into. So I got an email from a guy who said, I can't believe it. I've been listening to you for years. You've just lost a listener.
Wow.
I will not support these people. I can't believe your support. La, 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 la. And anyway, it was an accident. And I had explained that that it was an accident. I actually opted out of I had to opt out of all alcohol-related ads. So not only did I, because it's all one category, not only do I not want those ads running, but I've left all the other money on the table too, because obviously our biggest demographic is people who drink alcohol.
Yeah, that's the people you're trying to get.
There's no wine, there's no liquor, there's no nothing, because it's all part of the same thing, and I didn't want an ad to accidentally slip through like it did. And anyhow, I explained that on the air and went on a bit of a rant.
Of course.
Now's a response mostly to that person who wrote the initial email.
Sounds like something a Michael would write.
Some of them are long. Austin writes in, okay, BN, three things. So it starts so I know it's fucking long.
Are these bullet points?
Three pages.
This one starts about Duke Cannon, actually. He says three things. Oh. Number one, soap. This is going back a number
of...
Helpful in a shower.
This is going back a number of shows to the Rip Brewing episode when Justin went on an unscripted rant about Duke Cannon. I wanted to write in and say that this was the best endorsement for a product that I have ever heard on this show in my 10 years of listening.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
You wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah. I heard the advertisements for Duke Cannon, but didn't think much of it besides that you got a new sponsor. But after hearing that Duke Cannon line of products not only made Justin shower more and smell better, but also made him quit smoking, begin going to the gym, and contemplate having a child and a cat.
What?
I knew
it all happened. You were away.
Wow.
I knew that I had to try this big-ass bar of magic myself. So I was a little leery of spending $10 on a bar of soap, so I bought four. Unfortunately, I've only gotten the chance to use one bar so far. After 2 months, I'm only halfway through the first bar. But they smell great. See, I told you, it's like a big-ass brick of soap. That's the title of the thing.
Is this guy only showering once a week?
No, it's a big-ass... Trust me, mine's still going, too. But I do only shower once a week, to be fair. He said, well worth the money in longevity alone. And although I already have a child, a cat, and I work out, and I never smoked, and I bathe regularly, I can't say they've had the same profound life-changing effect that they had on Justin, but I can say that I smell better, and now a Duke Cannon customer. And it would not have happened without your off-the-script endorsement. Blah, blah, blah. So there you go. Potential sponsors out there, what we say works. Listen to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
now,
point one.
Number two.
Right.
Yeah. Number two.
I'm going to take a break.
You need a break?
No.
Michelob.
Oh. Okay. Here we go.
He says, this pertains to the feedback last week, of course, about the guy who quit listening to the show because he heard the Michelob ad. Screw that guy. I get how the same ad may have been...
Yeah.
I get how the same ad may have been off-putting, but the BN has said in multiple recent episodes that you guys are testing a new podcast marketing company thing out, hence all the seemingly random ads. That's true. I did give a little heads up.
You do actually say that every episode. In fact, that company that does this for you should be a sponsor just for the...
Just for that.
For that.
Yeah. You're right. The ad was some girl... Anyway, now he describes the ad. The ad was some girl whispering sweet nothing nonsense and then ended with, drink Michelob, or something like that, he says. I honestly started cracking up when I heard it because either one, something or someone screwed up, or two, Justin finally sold out, and this was his not-so-subtle way of letting us know. I'm sorry it wasn't the latter. That would be funny if I never did a press release, if we never talked about it, if just all of a sudden all the ads were from AB.
Michelob Ultra supporting the Brewing Network.
But we just pretended like nothing was happening. And right. Then the feedback comes in, we're like, I don't know what
you're talking about.
Yeah,
huh? Never, people.
We'll put a stop to that.
Hang on, I got to go park my Rolls Royce.
Right.
Anyway, that's all he had to say about that. Well, if I got bought out.
Really? A Rolls Royce?
I don't know. I'm old now. I went to the fucking Rolling Stones last night.
Yeah,
there
were a lot of old Rolls Royces there.
Right.
Yeah, and Buicks. All right, number three, JP. JP, you're doing a fine, dare I say, great job as host. If you find you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on, buddy.
Aw.
Is it weird that he gets the most compliments when he's not around?
Yeah.
He's doing a great job by not being on the air.
Right.
And creating great Twitter games as well.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, keep up the good work, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Here's another one. This one's from Phil in Calgary, Canada. Mm. Also about last week's show. I love a good Justin rant. The way it builds to an articulate rage crescendo, is one of the best parts of the session. Maybe next to when Justin and JP start to riff off of one another, giving us just a glimpse of what could have been if the unicorn and rainbow weren't taken out behind the shed. And then he trails off.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, for fuck's sake, he says, where do some people get off criticizing a business owner in the media industry for selling ad space? I hear the listener, Matt, note that he's listed all the shows over the years and how he is essentially going to boycott the BN going forward. The odd thing is, he must have forgotten to mention that his own business must sponsor a show or two, or that even he personally donates to help offset the cost of an entirely free network of programming. So in other words,
yeah. He
didn't mention that he pays anything.
Right.
Precious idealistic Matt, he says. For the BN to intentionally forfeit ads from the principle of the industry that the business showcases is so admirable and weighted in integrity that some would call it foolish. I fucking agree with that.
Right. Yep. Most would.
Yep. Get off your high horse and publish a podcast or write a book or even a blog that showcases the dubious business practices of the large players in the beer industry. Your first installment could focus on one of the first broad-reaching voices that has shed light on the, quote, bad guys. One comes to mind, the Brewing Network, he says. To everyone at the BN, past and present, thanks for the stellar programming, and don't let one crybaby alter what's been a decade and a half of growth. Even if that means we listeners have to hear the occasional ad that doesn't belong in our bubble. Cheers from Phil in Canada.
He brings up a good point, though.
Yeah.
Which
what? What if we could get Lunch Meat back and it was completely yeah. sponsored by Michelob?
By a big company.
Yeah.
I think the Lunch Meat listeners don't have any hairs up their ass about anything. No, so it's fine. That would be fine.
Skipping.
And Matt would never have heard it. By the way, I just want to say, in Matt's defense, when I wrote back to him the explanation, and I think I said this last week too, he did say, you know what, I'm so glad to hear that, and I'm sorry, I guess I shouldn't have jumped the gun, I'm a little sensitive to these things because I care about craft beer, shit like that. So, and, you know, whatever. People
it's
don't
good
know.
Radio. Keep writing,
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just don't want Matt to feel like, shit, I thought I said sorry, and now I'm like, everyone's, you know, shitting right. all over Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, you're a good guy.
Let's see. Here's one more on the same topic from John in New York. Hey, Justin, I just listened to the feedback. He said in that feedback that Northern Brewer ads continued on the BN after they got bought. And John says, my memory is that the Northern Brewer ads ended before the news broke of the buyout. But they are still in older episodes. Maybe that's what he meant. But who's going to go back and strip them all out? That would require effort. And they're pretty funny. Also, thanks for the Tasty updates. Glad to hear he's hanging in there.
I saw Tasty at our event on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah.
How's he look?
He looks great.
Yeah.
Good. We have a beer called Tasty, and he was there. He went, came and tried it. It was great. Right out of the fermenter as well. So
awesome. Yeah, he came to our anniversary party looking pretty good, too. So
yeah, it's good to see him.
Glad to see he's out and about. John, I don't remember. I think you're right that Northern Brewer dropped us before the AB InBev buyout. And I don't think it had much to do with the buyout. I'm pretty sure that the then owner of Northern Brewer, who had essentially bought the place to turn it into something that could sell, he didn't like me very much at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's kind of one of those big shot guys. And, you know...
You're kind of a big shot guy.
Well, I'm kind of like,
hair?
Whenever you're around me, it's the Justin show.
Yeah.
And the first time he met me was to partner with our anniversary party.
Right.
Where it's the fucking extra Justin show.
Yeah.
So we had done this whole homebrew con thing together that week, and we did the party, and he perceived that I screwed something up. I don't think I screwed it up. He just didn't like me. And about a month after HomebrewCon, I think we sent their renewal contract, and they just said, we are canceling this. And that was that.
Oh.
So, and then I think
after
a month
the anniversary
and then
party.
I think a month after that, they sold to AB InBev.
Really? That soon after the anniversary party was there?
It was pretty quick. A couple months,
oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think it was that long.
Okay.
Like 90 days?
Maybe. They were putting on a big dog and pony show, too. Like, he invited me, and he's like, I'm inviting homebrew luminaries to this dinner.
Ooh.
And, like, he wanted, I don't know what, he wanted us all to get, he wanted to show AB, I think.
Jamil that, will be there.
If, yeah, that, oh, hey, this carpet. Homebrew thing's a big deal. We work with all the big shots in homebrew.
Okay.
Fuck ever.
Dog and pony show.
But yeah. I think he got annoyed with that, too, because I went to this dinner with this chef, this cool chef in Philadelphia, and chef had his own logo on his apron. He was walking around talking to people, and he saw my hot grenade. He really liked it. And I was like, oh, cool, you want me? He's like, yeah. And I took it, and I stuck it right over his logo on the thing. It was a joke. The other guy from the Northern Brewer, he comes up. He's like, oh, that is so tacky. Like, he just stuck it right over his logo. And I was like, well, he didn't care. It's a joke. It's a funny. Anyway, don't work with me if you're fucking uptight about things.
Yeah.
This is why Sully and I can get along so well.
Do we get along, though? No.
Yeah. This is function to you?
And why Nico hates me.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did talk about that earlier.
Sully is a consummate professional. Okay? Okay. He is not
keep
a person
going.
Who takes his brand lightly or his business lightly. However, he understands that not everything is life or death. It's still just beer.
Yep. Yep.
So we can have a little fun with it. We can joke around about it without ruining anybody's brand or idea of how you do business or anything else.
You know, it's like Sam Calagione's famous quote, 99% asshole free. So you're going to find those 1%. They are out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So don't work with me if you're uptight. I'll tell you that right now. We do need the money, though. I can tone it down.
Because I'm not uptight.
Right, yeah.
For enough money, I can tone it down. I can totally tone it down.
Let's talk about that.
And become uptight.
Drink Michelob.
Anyhow, I did go back. I had to go back and look and see all of the... And I think that Michelob ad ran like 3 times. I had to call them about that again.
Oh.
And a couple other. There was like a winery in there. And I wish I could do the other alcohol, but I can't. It's all one thing.
Hmm. You can't check that box.
No. I keep asking them. And they keep saying, you'll be the first to know when we separate beer from everything else. Okay. I'm like, well, you really should.
Yeah.
It's important.
When are you sending the invoice for damages?
Oh, to who? Matt or
no,
them?
To them. Yeah. Your time having to deal with Matt?
I know, yeah.
Is it lucrative?
They don't care.
We talk about this all the time.
The new revenue system? Yeah. Not yet.
Okay.
No, not in fact... It costs money to switch over and to use their service, so I think I just finally caught up with the startup costs.
Okay.
And now we'll see. It's mostly, to be honest with you, it's mostly to run ads in the back catalog.
Yep.
So that we fill our current ones with our current sponsors, and then those sort of fall away after a period of time goes on, and then they can sell into our back catalog. Because we serve like 2 million downloads a year.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot. And this product
You mean there's 200 million people listening right now?
Well, I'm not sure about that. But
change my diaper.
It's a big difference between like current listeners and like who's downloading the whole catalog. We have 15 years of shows, right? 14?
Yeah.
So in this company actually is really innovative in that they've figured out a way to monetize a back catalog. And no one had ever done that before. So it's exciting stuff, and it's supposed to be in the... Anyway, whatever.
I got it.
You know what I mean? But it's not very lucrative yet, but I think it's going to supplement some income.
In 2021, you'll see it.
It's not going to pay for the Rolls Royce, I'll tell you that.
Good thing you already have it.
Mm-hmm. It might fix my Volkswagen after a few months. We'll see. I don't know. All right. That's it for this segment. Ah, fuck it. That's it for the whole show. We're out of here.
Yay!
That was a great segment.
No Ian Titus? Totally missed Ian Titus.
No Titus emails this week.
He wrote in last week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Because I was here for the previous one.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's our new favorite.
Yeah.
Ian, where are you, buddy?
Oh, Ian Titus.
I expect...
What did I say? I don't know.
No, you said it right.
Ian Titus, right?
I expect weekly feedback emails from you.
Yeah, what's going on? Well,
clearly you're drunk enough.
Right.
So
you're coming up with weird beer cocktails.
Just make yourself a little iPhone reminder. You know, just call it whatever. You're probably drunk by what? 9:30, 10 o'clock every night?
In the morning. A.M.
Make the alarm go off every 10 a.m. Go, write feedback to Justin.
Yeah.
Please. Do that. No, we have a great show for you today. We're going to speak it to Long Beach Beer Lab, and I'm excited about it. It's actually a guy who's been on the show before he was a brewer. So we're getting a little what's been happening since, and they got a very unique business model over there. So hang in there. It's The Session, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tuned into The Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Told you we got a good show for you, and I meant it. Joining us in the studio right now from Long Beach Beer Lab out of Long Beach, California, Harmony and Levi Freed. Welcome.
Hi.
Wait, did I not turn you on?
Oh,
Harmony
know.
And Levi Freed.
Hey.
Welcome.
There you go.
Hello.
Always a professional.
Nailed it.
It is Freed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Good job.
Wasn't that difficult, this one. Now, I'm a bozo most of the time, and people come up to me all the time at festivals and stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm Justin. They're like, yeah, I know. We did your show like a month ago. I'm reading through the show notes for this week, and I read about Levi and Harmony, and I'm like, well, this kind of sounds familiar, and I go to the website, and I'm reading your about page. I'm like, this really sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure I know these guys. And sure enough, I do. You've been on the show before you were a brewer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a brewer.
Home brewer?
We had a small brewery in Israel.
That's right. Okay. Because I knew you were in Israel, and I knew that was part of the connection, that we had a mutual friend, and that's how you sort of ended up here. And I wanted to know about what the beer scene was in Israel.
Yep.
I had forgotten, though, that you actually had a brewery there, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little nano.
A not very successful one. That's why we moved.
Is that what happened? So, because now you've moved back to Long Beach.
Yeah,
we've been there now for a little 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and how long was the brewery open in Israel?
I think we were brewing for like 3-4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that your full-time gig there?
No, I was an intern, medical intern.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
What were you doing there, Harmony?
I was a lifeguard.
You were a lifeguard. Okay. You guys have a fascinating story. And I say that now, folks at home, you're going to want to just go read the about page over at Long Beach Beer Lab. It's LBBeer.com, and you can go check out their story there. And, you know, it's just a little blurb. I'm not saying you got to read a novel there, but you'll find out in very brief time that Harmony is a classically trained pastry chef.
Yes.
And baker, is that an accurate term? Okay.
A pastry chef and baker. My main experience is from the Ritz-Carlton in Atlanta, Georgia.
The Ritz-Carlton, Sully.
Wow. I got to leave. I'm not classy enough to see that right now.
Wow. How long were you at the Ritz-Carlton?
And how'd that happen?
Yeah.
How'd it happen?
Yeah.
How many happened? Answer all the questions.
We were there for, 3 years?
3 years,
and a half years in Atlanta. He was studying at Emory, and I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my favorite job that I've ever had. Okay. I mean, except for...
Are you making, high-end French pastry?
Not only that,
day?
but you get to do everything from chocolate sculptures to breakfast pastry to bread to everything.
Wow.
Yeah. We ate good.
I bet.
But how did you get into that? I mean, that's just that they just say, here, just go make a chocolate sculpture.
No. No, I went to culinary school in New York.
CIA?
No, it was called the French Culinary Institute, mm-hmm. and now it's called something else.
The CIA is in Virginia, Justin.
It
no, there. I think there is.
There's one in New York, too.
Yeah, I think there is one in New York.
That CIA.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I didn't get it. He's got to take JP's role. And
I like that. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
It's the microphone.
Oh, thank you.
So you did go to school.
Yeah.
And you had a bunch of gigs. And then you go to the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
And you're there for a while. But then you also worked abroad.
Yes, I worked in Italy. We lived in Italy for a summer. And I got a job at a bed and breakfast. I basically went in there and I asked them if we could stay there if I worked there.
Oh, nice.
And
you quite literally just walked in there one day and that was your offer?
We were at a 10-day reggae festival in the Italian Alps with our kids.
Wait, slow down. I need a map here to figure this thing out.
And, with their kids.
Yes, yes.
They were three and four at the time. Now they're 13 and 15 and they're actually working in the brewery right now.
Yeah.
They're probably also the coolest kids on earth.
They would say yes.
Okay.
They think we are so uncool.
Okay.
Beer is work for them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Lay in the keg. It's great.
They like wine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Yeah. That's not terrible.
No.
So you're at this reggae festival, and then what?
And then we go to Venice, and we needed to stay somewhere. So I walked into this bed and breakfast, and I asked if we could stay there, if I worked in their kitchen. They asked me to make them something, so I did.
Wow.
And then they said, yeah, you could stay here.
That is the coolest story. Yeah. Also very irresponsible. You didn't have a place to stay before?
With no, children? We were camping.
We had a tent. We had a tent.
We lived in a tent.
But yeah. your plan was to move there, right?
No. We're moving to Israel. And we had the summer.
Two months to kind of just figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there was a timeline that you presented to these people.
There was. We're like, either our bank account runs out or the summer ends, okay, and then we'll go to Israel.
So you get then free room and board?
Free room and board.
Okay.
Meals, because she's cooking.
And we put the kids in camp. There was a camp around the block, and you were just hanging out.
I was going to add, what the hell is Levi doing?
I went to Beach Alas. Yeah. It was really nice.
I bet.
Oh. Everybody in Venice is a hippie.
Yeah. Were you like,
he was
you
living
speak
my
Italian?
Best life.
Yeah. Do you speak Italian? I mean, is it? What kind of passport do you have? I mean,
yeah.
This is all very ad hoc.
Yeah, at the time I did not speak Italian, but I've tried to learn Italian since then.
Going back.
Yeah,
do you have a place to stay yet?
No.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. We have a tent.
I'm going with you.
We have a tent. You have a home.
Perfect.
Wow. Where did you guys meet?
We met on the beach in Netanya in Israel. It was right after high school.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've been together for almost, 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're both from California, Southern California.
So you were there on the pilgrimage?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's not the right word, right?
No. It was like a sabbatical seminary.
A lot of Jewish
that's what
kids
I'm getting at.
Go to school after high school.
To, like, try
there.
To relate.
Okay.
So, oh, that's close.
My partners are Jewish. I know about these things. I just can't describe them.
We're both in school, and we met each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to go around the world to meet somebody from home.
And you said you were both originally from Long Beach?
No.
I'm from Long Beach, okay, and she's
from Sherman Oaks.
Sherman Oaks.
Okay, so both from Southern California, though, and then meet on the other side of the world, hit it off.
Yeah.
You live in Israel
you
for
You don't seem
for
so
how
confident.
Long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harvey's jury's still out.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Every day is a new day.
Right. How long did y'all live there?
8 years we lived. We lived there.
8-9 years, something like that.
We went there. We started brewing in Atlanta when we were in
Homebrewing.
Homebrewing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the idea was we weren't going to be able to get good IPAs out in Israel, so we were going to make our own.
Right.
That's, you know what, a lot of people, but a lot of people start homebrewing for something similar.
That's what Ken Grossman did at Sierra Nevada. Couldn't get that kind of beer here, started brewing it.
Started brewing it, yeah.
And then, just started brewing and brewing and realized.
Right, and then we just really couldn't pay our bills there doing what we were doing.
Okay.
In the hospital, he was getting probably $8 an hour or something. Mm-hmm. I was getting paid maybe four times that as a lifeguard, but I didn't have, I worked 3 hours a day. I didn't work a lot.
So we brewed.
We brewed and we sold beer. Yeah.
Okay. And you're allowed to homebrew and sell beer there? I'm sure we covered this in the last show.
We had a business license. Okay. We opened up our garage every Friday and we would sell out a beer and then we'd make more and sell more. And that's how we were paying our rent.
Okay. Now,
we talked about that last time.
Yeah. We did.
That's why I'm moving fast over that because I know we can go back to that. Yeah. But I do want to say, all joking aside, that Levi is no slouch himself. Levi has a PhD and a medical degree.
Yeah.
Whatever. What does that mean, a medical degree?
I'm a doctor.
You're a doctor.
Oh, that kind of PhD.
You're a straight-up doctor.
An MD.
You're an MD.
And a PhD.
Yeah, because I collect degrees.
Wow.
Apparently so. Did you practice doctoring?
I did my internship, half a year of residency, and then an opportunity to open up this brewery in Long Beach created itself, and we jumped on that.
Do you hate your parents? Every parent wants their kid to become a doctor, and you're like, fuck it, I'm going to brew beer.
Not his parents. His mother, actually, she found out that her ancestors in Niagara Falls used to smuggle beer from the Canada side to the American
side.
During
Prohibition. I love
this. And she's so proud of it, and she's so proud of him. She's always posting, my brewer son, she's all about it.
She's always in the brewery.
Yeah. Wow. Her husband is a doctor, so she's...
My dad's a doctor.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, I get that brewing is fun and you're more passionate about it, but was there a tough decision? Was there a moment where you're like, I've done all this work. I should probably be a doctor.
Yeah, I would hope that it was a moment. It was like 6 months of like insomnia and hard decision making. But inevitably, I've created an opportunity for myself, which I am the master of.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. Now that you have your own business here.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so when you're going through this process, this 6 months, are those the types of things that are on your mind? Like, well, I could be a doctor and work for somebody else all the time, or I could have my own thing where I'm my, master of my domain. Is that what you're saying?
Those are the two scales.
That's what you were really thinking
of.
Did you like practicing medicine? Did you enjoy that?
I really, really, really like practicing medicine. I like helping people. I like the science behind it. I do not like the paperwork.
Were you a cool kind of doctor? Or were you like
Were you a
podiatrist?
I was studying dermatology, which, could go both ways. But I was really involved in the research and the biology side of it. So I'm a published author in many papers, and I've done a lot of research in medicine.
Okay.
And I found the more that I practiced, the less research I was doing.
Hmm.
And so I wanted to get back to a place where I could work with my hands and do the research and do the experimentation that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that in brewing, especially nowadays, where there's so much going on in the brewing world,
and
we don't understand. We don't understand. And I think there's and you guys probably know this by interviewing a lot of brewers out there, is that there's a lot of engineers in brewing, but engineers are there to create processes to make more efficient beverages. But a lot of times, from my biology background, that sometimes you just have to do an experiment and just observe. And sometimes the experiment tells you what is going on what the possibilities are. So instead of trying to manipulate everything,
which is not science,
it's engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two components of that. So what we like to do, because we're a 10 barrel brewery, is we'll test anything that's out there. Yeah, new yeast strains like the ones that we have in our glass, to brewing with sourdough.
You sell everything. You sell your mistakes.
Yep.
So we try not to.
If it doesn't taste good,
experiments.
That's the litmus test, right? Like if it tastes good, we could sell it. If it doesn't. We opened Harmony has a distiller's license.
Yeah, I just got my distilling license. So, any mistakes going.
Beardy just perked up.
I like distilling.
Well, Long Beach passed a law. It's a zoning law that you can have a brewery, a bakery, and a distillery all in the same spot. So from the beginning, we wanted to get all three.
Yeah.
Businesses.
I mean, why not? The two of you collect degrees and skills
Let's
and professions.
Get all three of these
collect
professions
business
under
licenses. One roof.
Yeah, we're running a blood drive tomorrow. I just learned phlebotomy. You guys are amazing right now. Okay, we're going to talk about all that you do, but I'm not done with this line of questioning yet. So now I know where Levi, his head was at and how he made this decision. But you were around, too. So this decision to continue with medicine or to open a brewery was yours as well, right? You guys were a team?
It was never the point that he wanted to leave medicine. That I just wanted him to be happy with what he was doing every day. But it was more of the fact of leaving Israel. I'm very close with my brother who lived down the block from us, and my nieces and nephew, and so my plan was not to leave Israel.
Ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he kind of just called me one day. He was visiting California with our kids, and he called me and he said, I found a space for our brewery.
Oh, dear. Wow. Yeah. Really? Because I thought you were at SeaWorld today.
Right. I signed a lease for 10 years. Come on back.
Yeah.
And even in that, I think that I was visiting. I didn't know it was for sure or what. I don't remember the exact situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that one of his mom's friends brought me all this paperwork to sign my kids up for school. And I was kind of like, what?
Right.
I'm like, my kids are signed up for school in Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Wow, so this happened pretty quickly.
Yeah. Once... It was from September, and then we moved back in January.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And everything was kosher. You guys are.
Wow. Wow. Nice. I see what you did.
Waiting
there.
All day to take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there was no disruption in the force. It sounds like everything was okay. You guys are looking, you know, you're not glaring at each other right now. It was like a...
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of go with the flow type.
Sounds
of
like
people.
It.
You guys are obviously go with the flow people.
We're flowing now.
Yeah. Then we were going.
Right, yeah.
Luckily in the same direction.
Yeah.
Now we're flowing.
Yeah.
Well, your story is exciting, and it's very cool. Gosh, we're going to have to do multiple interviews with you, because now I want to go back before the... Before the backpacking and the tent and the kit, like,
oh my god,
oh, yeah. Lifeguard
years. But now we don't have time for that today because we have so much about the Long Beach Beer Lab project to talk about.
Yeah, the beers.
So let's start with the one in our glass, which is a Pilsner.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned, you had alluded that it's a non-traditional yeast in there.
Yeah. So we're using the Kveik yeast, which is the Norwegian yeasts that are kind of coming out, so it's not a real Pilsner, it's a Pilsner style.
Okay.
This beer is 5 days grain to glass.
Wow.
Oh my God.
100 degrees Fahrenheit and dry hopped with Huel Melon. And the reason why it's 5 days is it's dry hopped. So the conditioning times are the same traditionally.
Okay. So it fermented in 2 days?
One day.
Yeah. And you put the fermenter to 100 degrees.
So we run off through the heat exchanger at 100.
Okay.
And then we cap off the tanks. The glycol is capped, turned off completely with the valves, and then we just...
So it gets hotter then?
It goes in at... We use Celsius.
Okay.
So it goes in at 32, and it just climbs to like 35.
Okay.
So the reason for that is these yeasts don't have any lag time. They start fermenting within a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really have that drop in temperature. And since it's insulated, it just starts to ferment. And then through exothermic reactions, you're starting to make heat.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually raises in heat. And you can kind of keep it. I mean, you got to keep it at 100 for one day. So it's not difficult.
Yeah.
And then do you crash it before dry hopping?
So we then crash it down to 18 degrees Celsius, which is, you know, kind of like primary fermentation temps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we'll go ahead and dry hop. We'll collect yeast at that point. Then we'll go ahead and dry hop, wait, you know, a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And then rack off to the bright tank. And then carb.
Okay. You force carbonate then.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a diacetyl pickup anywhere? I mean, it sounds like it's happening while you're fermenting.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't think there is a diacetyl rest that needs to happen because you're just way above that temperature anyways.
I think the whole history of the world happens in the in the one day. So I'm not going to tell you that it tastes like a German Pils. But I am going to tell you that I think it tastes like a great lager, and I really enjoy it. And I'm also going to tell you, I've had, not a lot, but I've had a few Kveik beers. First one I've liked.
Yeah, it's super clean.
It's the first one I've liked.
Well, that's the strain.
Okay.
I think this keg got knocked
out.
Not
the brewer, it's the strain.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, it is the brewer, but it's also this strain. It's from Bootleg Biology. Jeff Mello sent it to us. What is it called?
Oslo.
Okay.
And it's specifically for lagers.
Lager types.
Yeah.
This beer, I wish I had the crowler for it because it pours bright like the other beer that we have in our glass, which is the Amber Lager.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a 3-day beer.
Wow.
Jesus, what the hell is going on here?
I haven't tasted this one.
This is not dry hop. That's why it's not longer. But I could probably push this out in 2 days. This is an Amber style lager.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah, like a Vienna.
In your mind, when you're planning this, this first beer, this Pilsner, what about it makes it a Pilsner?
For me, I look at beer styles as flavors. And so I look, and to me, what I like in Pilsners is like a crackery wheat kind of character to it, clean, mm-hmm. crisp. Yeast kind of gets out of the way and lets the malt speak. And then you have some bittering that could help sharpen it up.
Yeah.
That to me is Pilsner. Soft water, crackery, kind of clean malt character.
Yeah.
And then a little, you know, like a present bitterness.
Okay. It has these things.
Yeah.
One of the first things I did notice was a really nice bready, not Brett, but bready.
Bready.
The cracker you're talking about that I really enjoy about this beer. Do me a favor, because I'm going to come visit your brewery. Do not list on there how long it took you to ferment these beers.
I don't.
Because I'm the type of asshole, I will go in, I'll be like, well, I'm not ordering that shit, because there's no way it's going to taste good.
I'll have the 8-day one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, but this tastes good.
I used to write Kvike on the beers that we're making, but now we just...
We don't write it. Only if people ask. Okay. And it's really...
We're not hiding anything.
No, we're
either.
Not.
Like when we post about it, we post about it.
Not all of our beers have Kvike, but it does help us keep up with demand.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So our most popular beers, being in Long Beach, it's a port city, are light and crisp beers. Mm-hmm. You know? We've had a million questions. When are you going to have an amber? When are you going to have a brown on?
Yeah. I like that voice that they ask in.
Yeah.
I hear that. They come into the hop grenade, too.
You already hear it ringing in your ears.
And what's your haziest one? Yeah.
You know... To produce this in 3 days takes a small brewery and allows it to actually start to operate like mm-hmm. a manufacturing brewery.
And what a great point.
When Levy says that we have a 10-barrel, it's not a 10-barrel the way that you're probably picturing a 10-barrel. He built our brew system. It's a old IBC tote.
Mm.
It's our mash tote.
It's our mash tote.
Yeah.
Wait, do I have to call you Levy now or Levi?
It's okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I let the cat out.
Cat out of the bag.
What does everybody
call? My mom calls me Levy. Yeah.
Okay.
He'll tell people his name is Levi.
My grandfather
Levi
called
Fry.
Me Levi.
Levi Fry.
So,
okay.
Who's right?
I'm going to land somewhere in the middle now.
Right. Levy.
Anyway, so he built the system, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a Metalcraft 10-barrel IBC tote with...
insulated.
Well, that's...
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Metalcraft is a stainless steel tote with 5 heating elements welded into the side, kind of like the electric brewery system.
Oh, yeah.
That's used for home brewing. We use burners to get it up to temp, and then we'll just cap the burners and do everything with electricity because we're a solar-powered facility.
Yeah.
And the mash tun... The mash tun is a plastic IBC tote that we insulated with like housing insulation and put a like homebrew false bottom in.
Okay.
Like the purple bats or pink bats of insulation are just taped on.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, now we have 2 of those actually.
Well, that was like genius level.
That's our secret.
Right there.
Yeah.
Because I was the whole problem with having these IBC tote mash tuns is graining out is
horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it's all manual graining out with like a shovel or a thing.
Yeah.
And I realized we were shoveling out from one IBC tote into another IBC tote. And my doctor calf got on and I was like, why don't I just build 2 mash tuns and send that one that mash tun to the farmer?
Oh, right. Let them deal with it.
They're graining out anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now we send our mash tuns to the farmer.
What batch number was that?
Yeah.
It was like a month or two into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I would love it if you actually like went to the farm and then stood there watching him do that. And is that what happened where you're like, wait, I just did that? Is that like basically where it happened?
That looks familiar.
Wow.
That's what it was.
I'm glad you didn't become a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kidding. I do that shit all the time.
How many people do things and then you're like, wow, this can be done very, very simply.
Yeah, yeah.
And which...
Right. I think it's somewhat natural to reinvent the wheel, especially when you're in a kind of a startup like that mm-hmm. and you think you're the first one doing it this way and maybe you couldn't find the perfect solution, so we make things more difficult than they have to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But now things are actually
okay.
Nice. I don't have
coming
to break
along.
My back.
Right. That's good.
You know?
Yeah. All right, tell us about the next beer that's in our
glass.
Okay,
so we have it's an amber-ish lager-style beer with the same yeast, the Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 3-day fermentation.
Okay.
Because there's no dry hop. So, sorry, it's 3 days grain to glass.
Got it. Are you making adjustments in the mash or just even with the grain bill so that you're certain these things are going to dry out like a lager will?
So, I do a lot because I've been brewing now with these strains for over a year. And so there's a lot of changes. And like Harmony said, every strain has its kind of isms because these were isolated farmhouse yeasts. So each one has their own characteristics, the way that they drop pH and whether they're going to give body to a beer. And I've talked on the experimental brewing podcasts about how to correct these things in the mash or in fermentation.
Okay.
This strain, though, I don't correct anything.
It just does what you want it to do.
It, I mean, there are...
The drying out isn't the problem. It's super dry.
Yeah, what, is yeah. It fin- what do these finish at?
They finish about around 2.
Okay.
2 Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm. What about the pH?
Is so it- so the pH has in the other strains are considerably... how should I say, more fervent in dropping pH,
yeah.
Down even into like the high 3s, low right. 4s. This one, even though that there is like a slight acidity to them.
Yeah, I'm picking up on that.
Yeah, there's just a slight acidity to them. They're, it's a lot less mm-hmm. than that. And you could correct those things with salt
okay.
in the mash. Mm. I think okay. if you – I think a lot
ahead of
it,
fermentation.
Yeah, so you know, talking on the Milk the Funk podcast, mm-hmm. the group on Facebook, a lot of people are talking about over buffering your wort,
yeah.
so that you don't get that drastic change in pH.
Okay,
but as far as pH is concerned, yeah, these are there's a little pH change in here. The red, I actually did some color additions in the boil kettle.
Hmm.
I put Carafa 2 Special in steep.
Okay.
Just to get the color a little bit more amber. And I think a lot of that acridity is married to that acidity.
Okay.
Sure, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so you're getting a little bit of that tannin and tannic acid kind of.
Your Vienna yeah. lager is really good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Calling it that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, like... For 3-day fermentation.
I'm sorry, Vienna style lager.
Vienna, yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Vienna's going to give me a phone call. I'm a paper.
Yeah. 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 You're not welcome back like to Austria. Dumb.
Mr. O'Sullivan, you have to stop talking about it that way.
I think, and I've talked to a couple of brewers about this. I was just at Fieldworks this morning. As brewers, you could engineer a beer and pop out some beers on a mass production style and make consistent quality beers that you've engineered. But I also believe on the flip side, it is a brewer's job to take tools and use them to the advantage of the brewing community.
Yeah.
And if you can nail those flavors, then do it. And I think that these are not far from where we want to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now it's just a matter of fine tuning.
So I have to play devil's advocate just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
wah,
I love
wah, wah.
And I love both of these beers. Mm-hmm. But I'm they're not a lager by definition.
Right.
So are you and it's okay whatever this answer is, by the way. Mm-hmm. Are you using the terms lager or pilsner or something as a sales tool? Because as you mentioned, like, the people in Long Beach kind of want a light, easy drinking beer. So if you had instead said, well, this is a red ale and this is a blonde ale, even though I already understand that the characteristics are similar to mm-hmm. a lager, that I'm with you on and I get. Mm-hmm. But just by definition, they weren't lagered. It wasn't a lager yeast. It was. So do you see what I'm saying? Are you using the terms sort of interchangeably as a marketing?
I think people buy what they know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is marketing there. But this is they sequenced this strain. It's Saccharomyces bionis, which is more like a lager, Pastorinus
okay.
strain, than it is a Saccharomyces cerevisiae
I see.
Strain. So it is more lager-like in genetics than an ale.
Okay.
I think the beer styles themselves, because I had a brown ale today and an amber ale, and they have a lot more ester profiles to them.
I think you're right about that.
I think this is more malt-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So even style and flavor would be considered more lager than ale.
So in other words, you could almost, I'm going to use the word deceiving, and I hope you don't, you'd almost be deceiving just as much by saying it's an ale as you might be by saying it's a lager.
That's how
Is
I
that
feel.
Fair to say?
If you can, this could totally fit in the cream ale description, because cream ale, according to the BJCP, at least before the most recent version, kind of rode that line between an ale and a lager, and some people even said that cream ales can be lagered.
I see.
They just don't taste like an American lager, or they don't fit in all the other descriptions.
Well, that's what happened.
The Irish Red's the same way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we have a beer called El Sully, and it's a Mexican lager. You know, we use a Mexican lager strain, and it's won, like, medals in the American cream ale category.
Got it.
So it's like, you know, if you look at the description, it does talk about you can use a lager or an ale yeast. So, but, I mean, where are we going to put that beer?
Right.
You know, I always have to explain that it's not an ale. It's actually a lager, but it's in the mixed yeast category. So,
yeah.
I mean,
and that's
it's so specific, you know, that you really, but you, I think you have to key. You have to key your consumer in on, like, well, what's the expectation? So you taste your beer and say, well, that's what it is.
And that's genuinely what I was asking. I'm not using marketing as a negative connotation.
Right.
I actually genuinely saying, like, well, if I say that it's an ale, but I really feel and design and it tastes more like a lager, I should call it a lager.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting at, too.
I think that, like what Sully was saying, where you could take one beer and put it in and enter it into a category, and it could win in that category even though it's not technically,
is
just a testament to that the flavor dictates
exactly
the style.
Yeah.
A judge, like at the GABF, you are judging to the category description. So you have no idea how that beer was made, how to arrive at it. You have no idea if it was a Kvik yeast or a lager yeast, or if you're using special drops or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it's just it's what's in the glass.
Yeah. Well, Feig beer won gold in Berliner Weiss at the past GABF.
Wow.
Yeah. So
and the brewing world got upset.
So yeah. We'll see a lot more of it.
What is it about? And by the way, we have to talk about baking and bread, too. But we got to do a little more.
And how there's not any bread here.
Harmony, you brought bread, right?
Well, we came up on Sunday, so it would have been
three day old bread.
Oh, that would have been unacceptable.
You're in Concord. It doesn't matter.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
This isn't
all bread in Concord is 3 day old.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
I love Concord, by the way.
So
we did bring a bunch of bread to field. We did a collab with Fieldwork this morning, and we brought them a bunch of bread, and I was very upset that Levy brought it, because
she was like looking at all these guys enjoying this bread, and she was like,
they have no idea what they're doing.
Right. So, and by the way, I would also eat three-day-old bread because I am in Concord. But
refrigerator.
But I do understand the difference only because I have friends that understand the difference. So whenever I visit my friends in Paris, you know, if you don't buy bread in the morning, you don't buy bread at all. It has to be fresh bread. And then it's like sometimes there'll be some left on the table when I'm staying with them, and I'll eat it the next day. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing? We're on our way to the Boulanger right now. It's down. I was like, I don't know. It's fine. They're like, it is not fine. That's disgusting.
Do they knock it out of your hand? Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's poison. What are you doing?
Exactly. We did a collaboration with our friends at Angel City, and we brought freezer bread that was like 8 months old. Had been in the freezer for like 8 months.
Yeah.
And all these guys were cutting up the bread to put into the mash, and they were eating this 8 month old freezer bread.
I had brought fresh
bread that I had baked that day for them. And I'm like, why are you eating that bread? They're like, this is delicious.
Brewers are cavemen.
Right. They are. Yeah. Go cavemen on there. Just kind of rip this crust apart.
Also, let's face it, in America, anything above Wonder Bread tastes artisan. So we're like, this is fantastic.
Okay,
we're going to get more into that in a second, but I don't want to move too far away from the yeast before we have to take a break. You had mentioned something to me, I think, before the show, that like this is the yeast that was supposed to like turn the brewing world upside down. Or was that Sully? And
somebody said it.
And
it's been said.
Is that just about being able to turn beers fast? Is that what that a statement like that means?
I don't want people to think that fast beer is bad beer.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I believe, like I was talking about before, I think it's our job as brewers to to fine-tune brewing. It's a brewing science, right? So it's moving. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward. And we need to take these tools that we have and utilize them to our benefits. Residency times in tanks, especially as you are manufacturing more and more, is a huge overhead cost. You're talking about electricity, labor, rent, all of those things. Now you're eliminating a huge portion of those costs. Mm-hmm. And it'll allow you to make more beer and better beer and be able to focus on making better beer. So if the end is about making flavors, good flavors, and making stylistic, correct stylistic beers, mm-hmm. We have a tool in our arsenal now. And we don't have a lot of tools in our brewing arsenal.
Yeah.
Really, like if you're talking about Reinheitsgebot, which these beers essentially are, because we're not adding any adjuncts mm-hmm. to them, this is a huge, huge plus for a small brewery,
sure.
10 barrels, to keep up with demands without having huge capital costs and debt. You know, we don't need to buy another tank because by the time I'm brewing again, this tank's empty.
Right. I bet Sully's mad inside right now.
I kind of am.
While
you're talking, I'm giving you the middle finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the 2NA, there's massive tags. He's like, God damn
it. Well, you know,
you
think about it. I mean, residence time for our beers are anywhere from like 18 to 28 days. Mm-hmm. And if you can cut that down by a third or, you know, half or whatever.
Yeah.
You're making twice
as much beer. I just did the math right now.
Wow.
And thank you, doctor. Yeah. We talked a little bit earlier before when the herbs, and we were excited about that. We just didn't find I don't think we found the right yeast. And we were trying, and it was like, it's not quite right. We were trying to use existing recipes that we were already using with WLP01. It really wasn't coming out the way we wanted to, and we didn't know what we were doing, I don't think. So
they're not the same.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of research that has to be done. Luckily, there's a lot of labs that are doing research on these things. And then brewers like myself who have been collecting data over the year on pH, temperature, and attenuation to try and hone these down. But like I said, what I found is every strain is different. And so I have data sets for every strain that I've used, and I'm up to 13 now.
So you're not even so much manipulating the yeast. You're just marking down what it does. You're just collecting information.
That's the biologist. I'm not the engineer. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to manipulate yet, although I've done some manipulations on the hot side.
Okay.
To kind of accommodate the yeast.
Okay.
But I'm just observing.
Wow.
Have you messed around with oxygenation levels?
Yeah, so I started off with just not changing from the 001, the Chico strain.
Okay.
And now we don't oxygenate, we don't add nutrients, we underpitch. We underpitch. I'm finding that a lot of those pH changes have to do with overpitching. So I find as I get a pitch for 10 barrels and I pitch it, I get a slight pH change, but then the next batch, I'll underpitch that F2. No oxygenation, no nutrients.
You're not aerating at all?
No.
No yeast nutrients at all?
No.
Everything you
go
usually
right
do.
Things are going to change tomorrow.
Yeah. Everything you usually do, just do the opposite.
Wow. Yeah,
take what we know as brewers and turn it on its head. And I think,
but you didn't do that arbitrarily. You noticed that things were happening negatively, so you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to put oxygen in this time.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then
I'm measuring these things. Like, I'm measuring pHs of the wort as it goes into the tank. I'm measuring pH changes in the tank every 6 hours.
We're also tasting it.
Yeah. I'm tasting.
You're actually drinking the beer?
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, but some of these things are coming out. They taste sour or they taste oxidized. Or
a lot of times on different strains we're getting, because there's no lag phase, there's no glycerol kind of production, mm-hmm. you're getting thinner bodies, and then the acidity doesn't help because more mass and more compounds in the beer will allow buffering to occur. And you're not getting those made in that lag phase, that growth phase that you have when you pitch Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
But it's still getting acidic somewhere.
You're getting organic acids made even in Saccharomyces. But you have so much more mass of organic molecules in. So you're buffering a lot of that acidity with chemical interactions with these fatty acids, and the like. And since you're not getting that same amount of buffering capacity, you're going to have a more prevalent sour taste.
Because of the high volume of yeast that's in not Kvik strains?
Well, in non-Kvik strains, yeah. Like Saccharomyces, you're going to have a lot of glycerol production, fatty acids, sterols, right. A lot of organic acids and compounds that even if they're making stuff like lactic acid in fermentation, which is an aerobic, right. Anaerobic fermentation, you're not going to taste that in a pH change. You're not going to taste acidity.
Oh, no,
even
right.
Though it's made there.
But that's but, what that's what's buffering the pH
exactly.
Change. And Kvik's not making those
exactly.
Things.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So that's why if you have like Voss, I know a lot of people use Voss and Harnandal, and they're saying, oh, it tastes citrusy. Mm-hmm. Well, it tastes acidic. And the reason is you're not making any of these byproducts that we're so used to in that first 24 hours
yeah.
After we pitch. You know the homebrewers are so angst during that time.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't
right.
Work.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah,
work.
Right.
At least for homebrewers. And this is why, I mean, I started listening to this show as a homebrewer. For homebrewers with no temperature control, no adjuncts. No, you know, no nutrients, no way to oxidize their beer correctly or oxygenate, sorry, their beer correctly.
Yeah.
No temperature control in their garages.
Get a Kvik yeast.
Get a Kvik yeast.
Yeah.
Because those changes are going to not matter so
right.
Much to you. And so if I had this in my arsenal as a home brewer, it would have been nice.
Things could have moved faster.
Well, yeah, because that citrusy flavor could lend itself to hopping attributes. And I was yep. Listening to Ian McCall here mm-hmm. From RIP, who was on the show a
yep.
Couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how he acidifies his beers now for, you know, hopping for the hops to pop a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's already built in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With this yeast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of blow off do you get? Do you have to have like 50% capacity on your tanks?
It's massive.
Yeah.
Wow. I bet.
It's massive. And they usually take off within a couple hours.
Okay.
So
you have a lot of loss.
We'll see activity in like an hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't lose too much.
You just built it that way.
Justin, I'm hearing a new show.
I got
the Science Hour with
I know.
Levi.
Right. Actually, I was just thinking as he's talking too, because I can understand most of what he's saying. And knowing his background and his degree and what he's done with his life, I'm like, Levi's dumbing this down for us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm certain that he's just like, I'm just going to leave it like right here so that everyone can follow along. Because I know that he could have gone like way up here.
Right.
And we'd have been like, All right, Levi.
I could have just left it like too sciencey. Nobody would question.
Right.
Yeah, there is that.
That's kind of what I'm doing.
Eyes glaze over.
Because we all would have. Because None of us are going to admit we didn't know. I'd have been like, obviously.
Yeah, Jesus,
of course.
I just thought about that a minute ago. Why didn't you say it earlier?
What a coincidence.
Stupid.
Yeah. Is this what it's like living with Levi sometimes, too? And he's just like, Levi, stop dumbing things down. I can understand things, Levi.
We were working on a project together. And it involved me having to like do a little bit more research in texts, and I think that went way over our heads. I was talking about like linkage of peptidoglycan and cell
yeah,
walls.
Yeah, we wrote something that we're not talking about. Yet.
I see. Yeah,
and every time he did certain sections, and every time I would send in his sections. They would send it back to me and say, no.
Yeah.
Nobody understands this. So then I not right. Only had to write my sections, but I had to rewrite his sections because...
Which is a little frustrating.
Yeah.
They're like, can you tell Dr. Freed to act a little more stupid?
We want high school level science.
Yeah.
Which I
these
get it. If whatever you're writing is supposed to have a bit more mass appeal. But there are people in the beer industry who you can talk about with on a molecular level.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Jason out of Orpheus in Atlanta, and he was saying that there's very little – either you're complete peer-reviewed science in brewing or you're like brewing publications for beginner homebrewers, and there's nothing really in that
in
middle zone.
I see, yeah.
Where there is for bread. I know I looked through some of Harmony's like advanced baking books. There are seminars on advanced baking. Mm. And so we need – I think professional brewers, since there's a lot of us – there's got to be something in between for us.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. All right, let me, I got to get us to a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how the bakery fits in with the beer and the brewery.
Another science.
As
did
well,
you bring
yes.
Art
another science.
I did.
Inspired beer?
Yes.
Oh, great.
I just, Beardy, go find us some bread somewhere.
I have a beer that's made only of bread.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. We brought it.
All right.
No malt.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Long Beach Beer Lab. We'll be back after this.
From Central Coast Brewing, you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
All right, we are still hanging out with Harmony and Levi Freed from Long Beach Beer Lab, out of Long Beach, California, of course, where I will be at the end of September. And also, we should plug the first ever Southern California Beer Summit is in Long Beach.
Yep, first
right.
year.
First year that's down there, right?
Yeah, first year out of Sacramento.
What a great location to do that. When is it, September, what, 12th, 13th, 14th?
12th, 13th, 14th, with okay. the summit on the 14th.
That being the beer festival,
mm-hmm.
which in my experience is like the biggest beer festival outside of GABF,
yep.
I've noticed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it is.
Just because California has so many breweries, and they're all, if you're part of the CCBA, they all attend. Beardy's been to it.
Yeah, the Capitol Mall is a great place for a beer festival, so you guys better bring it.
You got to bring it, yeah.
We're doing it on the Grand Prix runway, so I think the speedway they call.
Yeah. Because you
it's
need
on
it.
The beach.
What is that? I don't know what
nice.
That is.
Nice. It's a big racetrack. Don't worry
oh,
about
perfect.
It. It's on the beach.
Can we race afterwards?
Yeah.
If you could walk.
I'm going to try to make it down. Are you going to the... To
yeah, I'm going. I'll be there. We're doing some events.
Sully always.
You're doing some events?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
It doesn't matter the event. You don't even finish it.
What are you
the,
talking
Sully,
about?
Sully, are you... Yeah!
We're going to be there.
My dad lives. My dad lives down there, so I'll be there. He lives in Palos Verdes, so...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stop by your place, actually.
Please.
I'm going to do that.
I'm gonna try to make it down. If I can't do that, I will be there like the last weekend of September, and I'm gonna come see.
We'll send some sourdough, not 3 day old.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's that I gotta come down because Harmony didn't bring us any bread.
Yeah.
All right, let's learn a bit about, before we talk about the beer in our glass, because we got some new beer. Let's learn about how the bakery fits in with the brewery and what you got. What's your concept there?
So we share cultures. With the brewery and the bakery, we also share grains, not spent grain. I think that's a common misconception. Everybody always says, oh, and you use spent grain in your bread. We don't use spent grain in our bread.
Okay.
It's like a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. I mean, spent grain is spent. So
we
in the name.
Yeah.
Huh. We've all tasted spent grain bread.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
We have.
I'm sorry if I ever told you your spent grain bread was good. I was lying.
And you're not sorry.
Yeah.
We have these amazing mushroom farmers that grow all of the mushrooms we use in the kitchen in our spent grain.
Wow.
They grow these amazing wild mushrooms, and it used to take them, I think, 3 or 4 months to grow them, and now it takes them 1 month.
Wow.
With our spent grain. And then our other spent grain goes to feed chickens and goats. And
okay. So you share fresh grain that comes in
exactly.
for the
brewery.
Exactly.
So I will take a malt bill from one of his beers, and I will grind it up, and it's probably like 2% of my recipe. And it adds some nice sugars for the yeast to eat, as well as... some of my bread actually has beer in it.
Okay.
And then we do, like, this beer right here, which is a kvass-style beer, which is 100% sourdough
this
bread.
Spent bread.
Yeah.
Beer.
So anytime
think about that.
Anytime we have leftover yeah. bread in the tap room that doesn't sell, we have a nice walk-in freezer, so we put it in the freezer. When we have about 300 pounds of bread, we can mash in on the bread, and then we pitch sourdough starter, and this is the beer you get.
Hang on.
Is
yeah.
this the one where you have to chew?
Like my...
No.
And then spit it in your mouth?
No.
Also, never tell me that.
No.
I
just want to make...
alcohol.
I have
right.
to make...
Yeah.
Very,
only 2%.
Very little. Very yeah. little. We also do... We have one that we added rye malt to bump up the alcohol, because nobody really takes it seriously unless it's over... 3%.
Yeah.
Let's just say we're the only people making 100% sourdough ale.
So hang on, we got to back it just for a second because I'm a little slow.
Brain exploded.
You lost me at. You have all this bread in the freezer. No, don't be sorry. This is my fault. You have all this bread in the
freezer. That's what the doctor says.
You have all this bread in the freezer. You get a certain amount of it, and then you mash this. I don't understand this part. So
we put it in our IVC tote.
Okay. Without any grains. It's
no
just
grains.
You mash it up, you break
bread
it up, you run it through a mill.
We quarter it.
Yeah, we quarter
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
Expose the endosperm of the bread?
Right, the endosperm of the bread.
What love bond is the bread?
Yeah.
So we have 12... we have 12, like, consistent styles of bread that we put out. I try to use...
13. But you can't use the challah in the...
Yeah, we try and make it
eggs
vegan, so we don't use the one
with
eggs.
So 13's unlucky, I'd stick with 12 if I were you.
Okay, there you go.
Really?
There
I don't believe in that.
Or 14.
Okay, fine, I'll make a new bread.
Thank you.
New bread.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's about 400 pounds. We quarter it. We throw it into a 10-barrel IBC tote, mash it at about 180 degrees overnight.
Okay.
And then the next morning, pitch in sourdough starter, about 12 quarts of sourdough starter.
Hang on. So the 180 degrees overnight, you're getting fermentables out of this bread, which started as grain from the brewery anyway.
Yeah.
Has never been converted? Or it did convert a little bit when it fermented as bread.
You do have, because it's sourdough, the bacteria in the sourdough convert a lot of those dextrins into sugars. And that's how you get CO2 production in bread.
Okay.
You're not having super simple sugars. So you're not getting those dextrose, maltose, and glucose sugars in the bread.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to head and mash it again, and then we throw the sourdough starter in there, those bacteria go back.
So is the mash really more just to get the starches and whatever sugar that is there just into the water so that way the bacteria can work on it?
Exactly.
It's not actually – there's no conversion happening.
No. It's a steeping.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I go at 180.
And the sourdough starter is your baby, right? You must have this sourdough starter that you use for all your sourdough bread.
Yes.
Okay.
Super ripe.
I harvested it off of skins of grapes from Levy's mom's backyard.
Wow.
And We actually did send it to a lab, and it came back that it was actually it was Saccharomyces in there, but the lab said there was no lactobacilli in there, that it was Brett Brux.
Okay.
Which there is, we talk about whether that was the culture I harvested or that we domesticated it to be Brett because it is in a brewery.
Okay. You just told me that composition.
Yeah.
What would the composition be of of world famous sourdough yeast from San Francisco?
Probably bacteria, probably lactobacilli to produce lactic acid.
Okay.
The San Francisco sourdough is a lactobacillus San Franciscus something like that.
Yeah.
And that's lacto.
Okay.
So they're very different acidity profiles between San Francisco sourdough and what we're doing.
Okay.
We also do a cold fermentation.
Yeah.
And
that we just learned. I mean, everybody talks about cold fermentation overnight in the final rise, but a lot of even the building of our starter, we keep it in the refrigerator most of the time.
Wow. Okay.
And when temps do get too high, there is some problems with our starter.
Interesting.
So it's...
Yeah, so lactobacillus will like to grow, and bacteria like to grow at an even higher temperature than yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've kind of selectively coaxed out yeast cultures from our wild starter.
Okay.
With temperature, mainly?
With temperature control. Okay. Because there's really no control. There's no sterility, right? The bakers are going in there with their hands.
Good point.
We did a whole experiment with different employees. We had a team building meeting where everybody mixed... the same sourdough starter, the same flour, same water, same seed starter, and then we saw how much people's rose, and it was usually the people who were dealing with fermentation the most that had the most growth in their starter.
Interesting.
We had one person who was a cigarette smoker, and her starter did not rise at all.
It just didn't rise at all.
And but yeah, then, microbiome.
Then we fired her, yeah.
That happens, so. By the way, that things don't rise when you smoke too long.
Not much life survives when you smoke.
Wait, did you also do a control where, like, everybody has to shower at 8 a.m. this morning?
No, but everybody washed their hands. Okay. People had clean hands, so okay. It wasn't. Okay.
Yeah. Microbiology, the microbiome of the skin.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
I don't want to know about this, but it is fascinating.
That was most of the research that I was doing as a derm resident.
Oh, right. Okay.
Skin microbiome and inflammatory diseases.
Okay.
So it's very important, the relationship that our own cells have with the bacteria that live on our body.
Mm-hmm.
How many billions of bacteria are on Justin right now?
No. Don't answer that. Yeah.
What about the tray table when I fly? Is that
every doorknob from here to the bathroom.
Okay, so you now we have this mash happening. It's got your sourdough starter in it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next? That's not the fermentation of this beer.
Yeah, it is.
That's all the fermentation that happens in the beer that's in my glass.
Yeah.
Wow.
That we do a maturing on spent fruit.
Yeah.
And then we dry hop during that period.
So yeah, but we're not fruit. Repitching any other. Yeah, from some of our bigger sours.
Okay.
So we did a oud brun with cherries, and then we took those cherries and we did a kvass with spent cherries. And this one we did milkshake goza.
Yeah.
With pineapple and mango, and this is the spent pineapple and mango.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
And then just the bread as the malt, and then just the sourdough starter as the yeast. And that's what's in my glass.
It's just kind of like a refreshing soda.
It's awesome, is what it is.
It is.
First of all, I would say that it's more like a refreshing juice without all the fructose and sweetness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do like to drink juice. I'm cutting back on the juice a little bit right now because, I'm not juicing. Because I want my body to, burn other calories. I would drink this in the morning as, a great, refreshing breakfast juice.
We started putting this in cans, and unfortunately, I'm sold out of
the
cans.
Yeah, the raspberry one was out of the store.
So we did a framboise-style sour and then the spent raspberries. So the finished bread mash, we transfer the liquor off onto the spent raspberries and let them mature, and we threw in Belma hops, and that was really nice.
That one sold very quickly.
Yeah, we put them in 4-packs, $7.
Wow.
Whoa.
See, I love to hear this, and you have to.
Well, think about what's in it.
Well, low $7.
Spent, spent bread, low ABV.
Right.
See, this is another place where, and you guys, I know you're already doing it, but just keep marketing the way you're doing, because people don't, as you mentioned, want to buy low alcohol beer. Uh-huh. Right. We don't think we're getting our money's worth.
Right.
So don't market this as a beer as much. I mean, it's a beer. That's fine.
Correct.
But your marketing should focus on this refreshing part, the fruit, the bread. Yeah. Like, if it just focuses on all that, I'll spend $14 all day long.
We
sell it.
The industry. That's kind of going. The consumer's actually demanding low ABV, low carb, gluten free. I mean, you're starting to see more and more of that.
I mean,
I thought all of those things except for the low ABV. I thought that was still
low ABV now.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
The pendulum swinging.
I like this.
So it's so crazy. It's swinging fast.
3.5 is good. 2.8 is still low.
I think getting right above 3.
Yeah.
3.2.
Yeah.
That's the key spot for low ABV.
Yeah.
I love this beer.
This is great in cans.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
The pineapple definitely comes through to me. And I wasn't sure because you mentioned Brett Brooks, and so I was thinking maybe you just got your Brett tuned just perfectly to where you get that pineapple character. But maybe it's working in concert.
There is a tropical character to my sourdough starter.
Yeah. I think these are also mosaic hops in this one.
Okay.
So you're going to get a little bit of the tropical fruit off of the mosaic. But like I said, I don't know many people doing 100% sourdough beer.
Yeah. Well, and also, and maybe I'm not understanding the full makeup of your proprietary yeast here, but I thought that brewer's yeast and baker's yeast are very different. They don't really do the same things, and it's not easy to use together.
Yes.
But yours is more of a brewer's yeast than it is a baker's yeast?
Yeah, I think we've domesticated it into a brewer's yeast from using dregs from our house culture, as well as just being in the brewery,
the brewery itself.
Where I mean, we share cold boxes where it's not very
I'll
separate.
Bring beers. When she's mixing the starter in the morning, I'll be bringing in beers for her to taste.
For me to taste in the middle of me scoring my bread and baking.
I'll be like, try this one. This is a hot oven.
Oh, sorry, I spilled it on there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and I asked because I've heard people talk about, and I've had beers brewed, you know, we just threw a sourdough strain. It wasn't proprietary or anything. They, like, bought a sourdough strain.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, not good. It didn't ferment well. It didn't taste very good.
That's bacteria.
Yeah. Okay.
I think a lot of it has to do with the vitality of her starter because it's being used every day.
Constantly.
And when I get it for this application, it's at peak.
It's rare to go.
Well,
it's like taking high croissant.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This stuff is ready to rock
it's
and roll.
It's kind of past what I would use in the bread because when he'll come and say, I need to pitch for the kvass tomorrow, so we'll make two batches, and after 12 hours, we'll use for the bread, and his will sit there for 24.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I'm not going to get crazy biology with you guys.
Well, let me ask this.
Do a little bit.
The other side of this, if your yeast works so well in beer, is your sourdough a little less sour than I might expect?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially because I'm using it on the young side.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple. I have some of my breads are more sour than others, depending on. We did one with Purple Prairie barley and ube yams, and because of all of the sugars in the barley and the yams, the bread actually ended up to be really sour. But my regular country loaf is not overly sour.
Okay.
Yeah, we get plenty of people say, your sourdough is not even sour, bro.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of why I was asking. I don't think I would have been that douchey about it. I might have been. But I certainly would have asked. I would have been like, hey, what's the difference? You know, just ask to find out. Because I like that you guys aren't mincing words about how it's a synergy between the two. So to me, I'm not offended. Like, well, shit, if it's working in beer, it's probably got to be a little bit moderate for bread.
Right.
Do you guys argue a lot? Is it like a science on science kind of thing going on all the time? I mean, you're like, I can feel like a little like, oh, it's like you're very smart people. I'm just kind of curious, like, what goes on.
They just write papers to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, here's a white paper about
that
how
I wrote
I feel
five
about
years ago.
It's a good question.
I do believe she has a lot more experience than I do, so she has a lot of wisdom when it comes to actually making beer, making bread, fermentation. A lot of it is experiential, and experiential leads to wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school and I read the books, so I have knowledge, but knowledge isn't wisdom. Wise people have experience.
Okay.
So I could come off a little bit.
We're a good team.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
I could come off a little book smart and then not have the experience to and the wisdom to kind of like drive it in the right
space. I'm
also
a little harsher than he is. I think everyone likes him.
Well, if it helps,
let's get deeper into this.
Yeah.
If it helps
I'll
at all,
play the therapist
I think that Levi has sounded like a dumb shit, and Harmony is a sweetheart.
Aww. Yeah. You're probably the first person to ever say that.
I'd like her more if you brought bread. But,
I know.
That was fail. Same thing.
Fail. Blake and Alex tweet. Fail.
I know. We should have grabbed one of those crackers.
I know.
Oh, well.
What is the experience like when I come into the Long Beach Beer Lab? Like, what does the menu look like? Am I just eating bread and drinking beer? That's a lot of bread, right?
Yeah. No, you could if you want
you
to.
Could.
Okay.
The beginning, we definitely started out that way because it was really just Levy and I and maybe one or two other people doing everything. So now we have employees. We have a full menu. We do sourdough pizzas. We actually do onion rings and fried fermented green beans that we dip into our sourdough starter. And fry, so that is
yum,
really good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We work with an urban garden called Organic Harvest Gardens, and they take a lot of our spent grain. So our menu is seasonal. Whatever they're bringing us, that's what's going in the sandwiches, on the pizzas. Yeah.
And are you guys, you're vegetarian?
Yeah, we're 100% vegetarian.
At the restaurant?
Yeah.
At the bar? And not vegan?
Not vegan. We have eggs, we have cheese. But we're vegetarian. But we do have a lot of vegan options as well.
And the two of you are vegetarian?
I am. He's not.
I like meat.
Okay. And you're kosher?
Yeah. At home, we are kosher. All of our ingredients at the brewery are kosher, but we are not certified kosher at the brewery.
Okay.
We just haven't. It's very expensive.
Hmm.
And
we're a brewery.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's also just a lot of hoops to jump through. We've kind of tried to work with the kosher distributors on certain things, and it's really, really kind of disheartening to work with these people. So we just try to, even though all our ingredients are still kosher, mm-hmm. we don't follow the highest standards like we did when we started out, because there's a million different kosher symbols out there.
I see.
It's really complicated.
Things are difficult enough in a small business.
Just say crafted to be kosher.
There you go. Yeah.
So people who know us,
that's pretty good.
Marketing?
Who keep kosher, they'll sometimes come and eat there, but that's not our target audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there any concern about opening up in the keto capital of the world?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, what's that one? You can't eat carbs?
That's no carbs, essentially.
Right.
We get a lot of that. People coming in saying, oh, what do you have that's gluten-free? What do you have that's keto? Mm. And we kind of are like,
it's okay to not be that place.
What do we have? We have a neighbor that doesn't serve carbs, okay?
Right.
Go over there.
We have these green beans.
They sell property. Go get your nourishment from there.
Yeah, it's a real
Yeah.
You
just
pay because it is sort of bread on bread.
Yes.
It's bread.
I mean, we do naturally fermented vegetables that we do with our house culture. Cool. I mean, that's gluten-free, but I don't know if you want to just drink water and eat naturally fermented vegetables. You can come in.
There
and do
are.
Well, but if your culture is grown on flour, it's not gluten free.
What?
Oh man!
Oh my gosh!
All right, tell us about this next beer that's in our glass.
Already drank.
So
because it's so good, right?
I think we get carried away with being an experimental brewery. Because we're doing all this wacky stuff, this stuff that's really like. Homebrewers are doing experimental, but we have a whole sour program that we actually distribute a lot of these beers, so you can get them in Maine, Florida, Portland, Washington.
Great.
You get them
Amsterdam.
You get them in the Bay.
Nice.
And we do barrel aged mixed fermentation, kind of the hard way.
What does that mean?
The long, arduous journey of making barrel-aged sour beer.
This is hilarious.
So you make you make it up for your 3-day fermentation?
Yeah, this is such a hilarious irony.
It's almost a separate brewery.
Wow.
It's almost a separate brewery. So when we started...
You're a very conflicted individual.
Well, I think it's a marriage. Again, it's a marriage of these tools of science and artisanship. This is artisanship.
Yeah.
We've sequenced these beers. We've done the micro biomics on them. but in the end, you could do as much as you want. It's about flavor.
You go down that rabbit hole.
It's about flavor.
Yeah.
And, you know, every barrel is different. Every strain is different. And we leave it up to our palates to do the blending. Fortunately, I have a master taster at my disposal over here.
Yeah.
A master of flavor.
That's my degree.
Yeah.
Right?
But no, the truth is to have a very discerning palate that knows when to say dump and when to say blend it.
You know,
when we say dump, we mean distill. But.
Yeah.
And I will say, as a person who's been doing this for 15 years, there are plenty of brewers out there who don't know when to say dump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't even know when to not bring it on a radio show. let me just point that out. Like, some people don't even bring their best.
Why are you looking at me right now?
it's upsetting. You've spent all of this time and money on this product, and then you taste it, and it just...
Well, I'm sure it's upsetting. I can get that. But it's also upsetting to taste bad beer from a professional.
Correct.
So I'm actually just agreeing with Levi that it's wonderful that you have a great palate and you should keep listening to it. So what's in this one that we have here?
So this is, we have a house beer. It's a mixed fermentation, barrel aged, barrel fermented, we call it a tart farmhouse. That was the recipe was developed as the first collaboration brew in the Milk the Funk group on Facebook. So they did this worldwide collaboration, same recipe, and then they allowed you to throw in your own house culture. This is a culture that you've actually had before on the show from beers that we've had in Israel.
Okay.
But it was a lot hotter there.
Yeah.
So the beers were a lot more harsh. This is the same culture. Barrel aged, barrel fermented with that recipe. And then my brother, who was living in Washington, Tenasket, Washington, was living on a early Richmond cherry orchard. And he drove 300 pounds of freshly picked early Richmond cherries down overnight from Washington to Long Beach. And we processed these the hard way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we ended up leaving a lot of the pit stems. Leaves in them because they were so small that you couldn't really.
I see.
The early Richmond cherries are tiny. They're the size of blueberries almost.
But we did crush them.
So we crushed them and we put the beer on there and let it mature until we were comfortable with the flavor. It was a special blend of two barrels that were almost like a cuvée.
Wow.
And I really like this beer because. It's a stark difference in approach from how we've talked about the other beers.
Yeah. This is a wonderful beer.
Thank you.
And there's nothing harsh about it.
No, it's complex, but it's very drinkable.
Yep. Little bit of acidity, which is actually, I'm going to call it just the right amount.
Wow.
And I mean that because, boy, is that hard to get right. Like, sometimes it's too little, and you're like, well, I just wish it had something to brighten it up, like some acidity. And then you very quickly make it too much, and you're just like... And this just hits right in the back of the throat, right where I want it to, and goes away. It's a really nice amount. Very well balanced.
Thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like it smells. I mean, it's got some really harsh, like, you know, not harsh, but, you know, kind of aggressive... farmhouse aromas.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love that.
But it's got a real elegance to the flavor.
I love that when the beer comes out and it's like the fruit and the barnyard is hopping out of your glass and then you taste it and you're like, I could drink a pint of this.
I like that too.
You really can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't.
We will always comment on it on this show because I like that too. I like when I'm like, and sometimes I'll even say, so I didn't think I was going to like this when I put my nose in it. Uh-huh. And now I really, really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just put a beer on tap. I don't think I have one here, but so we tried going back to the Kvike strains. We tried to co-pitch a hazy IPA with USO5 and Kvike because I've heard people use like Sac Trois and USO5 to kind of ferment the hazies a little bit further, but still get all the cloudiness. So I did that together. The problem is USO5 has a 12 to 24 hour lag time. Kvike's already done with fermentation.
Hey, where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed the party.
USO5 is fighting an uphill battle, and it's giving off diacetyl, and it's not vigorous enough to go out back after that diacetyl.
Yeah.
So we ended up with this hazy IPA with, like, just chock full of diacetyl. I put that beer in a barrel with this culture for 4 months, took it out, blended that with, like, a cheese hop saison that we had just sitting around, and put it on tap. And it's another one of those beers where you just take the glass to your nose and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, this is barnyard. It's socks. It's whatever you want, you know? Like, sweater and goatee. And then you taste it and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll take a pint of that.
I'll take that, yeah.
Huh. And people are like, what's a wild IPA? And I'm like... Just
have it.
Yeah, right.
And always take two sips, by the way. You always have to take... Don't ever judge it by your first one. Even if you love it, you always have to take two sips.
Yeah, the flavor is really clean. It's not very acidic at all. I mean, it's just like...
And bright cherries.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you blend this with something else? I mean, was it a couple different barrels?
It was two barrels of our house farmhouse.
Yeah, our house farmhouse, usually there's some barrels that are more acidic, more malty. So
this might be a year in the bottle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
because it's definitely married very well. The malty kind of residual body that's there just works really well with the acidity to come in and just finish it out. It's really nice.
Who wants more before I steal it all?
I get that cinnamon.
Here, you're going to have to take it.
Yeah, you get that cherry pit spice. Yeah. You can't find that. Like, if you use cherry puree, you don't get that. Mm-hmm. That kind of like cherry pie, cinnamon, caramel.
And we were worried about adding the pits, but I think it...
Yeah.
I go all pits in now.
Pits in.
Pits in.
Yeah.
There's your name.
No, yeah.
T-shirt,
I got,
sure.
I got to tell you, I'm like all over the Milk the Funk group, just like maybe sometimes stalking it, and I'll see people making American sours, and they're popping pits out of apricots, and then all the Belgian blenders are like, "What are you doing? That's where all the flavor is." And I'm like, "Oh yes, I know what I'm doing. I'm putting Pierre Tilkin's like that's the best part."
Right. Do you crush the pit?
In these ones, we ended up crushing the pit.
They were so small that we could. But.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, but I think we just did peaches and apricots into some of these beers, and we just crushed it and threw it in.
Crushed the fruit.
Crushed the fruit and left the pit in, and there's something more rustic about it, and I think there's a big dialogue now with American sours that are just like, this is acid, and there's none of that rustic funk.
Yeah,
that people fell in love with in Belgium.
Yeah,
and they're masking it with high levels of fruit and sometimes lactose now. And
that's what I like about the balance in this one. I do know people should be afraid of acid, LSD and acid, because it can go too far so quickly, right? So I think that people are either not getting it right and they're going too far, or sometimes they're just being a little too gun shy, and then there's like not enough. Then I'm a little bored by it. Then it's just a fruity beer. So yeah, the balance is hard to find. And I think you're right about it. Like a bit of rustic quality to it.
Yeah.
There's an edge to the acidity, but it's rounded out by this rustic nature of the beer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we've been trying to strive for now with our sours. Sometimes it gets away from you, and you don't hit it out of the park every time.
So this book that you're not allowed to talk about.
He remembered that.
It's time to talk about it.
Well, I mean, when you are ready to talk about it, can I like get the scoop? Can someone finally let me like launch something and like tell the world what an awesome thing is coming out? Will you like call me back? Because if I read on the goddamn Full Pint or something,
New York Times,
before I got told,
Scoop him in.
I'm going to be very upset about this. How is the project you're working on? Is this going to take a while? Is the book almost done?
It's done. They sent us today the formatting, and I actually am really excited because it looks beautiful.
Cool.
It's
a lot of words.
It's a big book. It's very wordy.
Oh,
I'm a wordy guy.
No, we're
talking like 25 pages.
Yeah.
I think it's like almost
60,000 words.
That's a lot of words.
When everybody says it, I just always think of Kanye West because he wrote a book once. I don't know if you know that. And it had like four words on a page. And he was doing this interview. They were talking about the book. And he's like, yeah, I wanted to write this one for me, you know, because books be all wordy and shit. And I wanted to write one that was different. And I was like, it's a book. What's different about it? It's a book.
His book's not wordy.
Anyway, your book is wordy and shit.
Can you tell us what the title is, or can you?
I don't know.
I mean,
NDA.
Are there going to be pictures in the book?
They draw them. I think that's how a lot of these publishers are getting over the copyright laws on a lot of pictures.
Oh, that's interesting.
Instead of having to pay someone,
they're like, I freehand drew it by looking at the other one.
No, exactly.
Interesting.
That's what a lot of people are doing now. Is we'll kind of tell them what we would like to see.
This
there
is what we want to see,
and then they draw it.
Okay. Is this a kid's book about opening a brewery?
Exactly.
Bakery, distillery.
All kids should be opening bakery, distillery, brewery.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong dream for. Wow.
How long have you been working on this book?
Since what, January? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. No, since Passover. I wrote the first chapters in Passover. It went
was Passover February?
No,
it was April.
Yeah.
Haven't you learned to not guess at
Jewish
traditions?
You're not just wordy, you're
just
quick.
Yeah, we had deadlines.
I see.
Yes.
You clearly do well with deadlines.
Deadlines.
Wow.
I live my life in deadlines.
Okay.
You'd be like, oh, we have a midterm tomorrow.
We were pretty busy, too, throughout the thing.
I'm just looking out the window. My dude Tasty's standing outside the window right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
Came in for a beer, it looks like.
Twice in 1 week.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's take a break. We come back. You guys want to hang out for one more segment? It's our last segment anyway.
Yeah.
And we'll just shoot the shit a little more.
We came here for you.
Okay, good.
I want to try that Helles.
Yeah, I want to try some more beer in general from you guys because it's all tasting amazing. So
All right. Why
don't we do this? We'll take a real quick break. And when we come back, a little bit more from the Long Beach Beer Lab. We got to wrap up our Twitter game. Which was outsourced.
That's right.
About outsourcing.
That's what Twittering is.
That's right.
Twittering?
Hang in there. It's the session. We'll Twitter when we get back.
Hey, motherfuckers. This is Doug from fucking Society. You're listening to the session on the fucking Bruin Network. Fuck you.
Oh. He's got aggression issues. He's a good guy, though. Dougie.
Potty mouth.
Thanks for joining us, sticking with us here on the session. We still have Long Beach Beer Lab in the studio with us. We're going to taste a little bit more of their beer as we wrap things up on tonight's very exciting session where I learned a lot of things about a lot of things.
All the things.
I won't be able to recite them back to anyone, but yeah. I know that they're in my noggin.
They somewhere. Were.
Yeah. I went out at the break and took it upon myself to get more of your beer that wasn't even on our tasting list. But I saw that you had a clean fermented IPA in there.
Oh, yeah.
Not that your Kvike wasn't clean fermented. That's probably not the right term, right? But a normal strain.
Yeah.
What is this, Cal-Ale?
Cal-Ale.
West Coast IPA?
West Coast.
What's this beer called?
I think that's what you have is the 2-1 and Jewish.
And Jewish, yeah.
What does that mean?
Hey, what's it called?
It's a
2-1 and Jewish.
2-1 Regulators song.
2-1 and Lewis is right near us.
Oh, yeah. I always hated Warren G.
21st.
Oh, no,
Lewis.
You can't say
but
that.
No, I got
don't
you.
Say that
I
in
know.
Long Beach.
I'm the only one who, and I'm the only one who never liked him. Every time I say it, people are like, what is wrong with you?
All I heard was 2-1. That's all I heard.
It's your collaboration beer, Sully. Yeah, I describe it after that.
Thanks for participating.
When's the cease and desist?
Well, we've got some other beers in our glass, too, but I want to mention a special friend of mine back in the studio, Tasty McDole.
Hey, yeah, it's me.
Anybody recognize my voice?
Welcome back, Mr. Cotter.
It's really me, and I'm alive and well. And, you know,
I love it.
Take it from there.
You sound well. You sound like you, anyway.
It's me. It's actually me. Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. You haven't been all that well since I've met you, Tasty. You're 100 years old. But you sound about the same as ever.
I'm about as good as I ever have been. Yeah.
And, of course, now I every time I see you now, it's usually at a bar still. We meet up for a beer.
That's
and,
my thing, yeah.
One of the worst things about going on with you is that you have trouble tasting beer now.
Yeah, with this medical issue I've got and the treatments they're giving me.
Yeah.
It really affects your palate. Food, beer...
Yeah.
Vagina, it all
tastes bad.
Tastes weird.
Or just weird.
Oh. It just doesn't taste like how he remembers
it. It's all just a little off.
Yeah, it's just
strange. It's strange now.
Not as oystery as it used to be.
Wow.
Yeah. God, I love that you're back.
That was good to be here.
Yeah, that would be what...
Did I say that?
In all seriousness...
It's fine.
It doesn't feel good to be
JP's
here.
JP's not here.
That would be one of the biggest bothers to me, to not be able to taste one of my favorite things anymore. Beer, I mean.
Oh.
Beer. Seriously. Right? It must bother you a little bit. You come out for a beer, and you're like, well, shit, I wish I could just taste it again.
I can't. I get the appropriate beer buzz, which is why I can actually drink beer.
So the effects still work.
It's not conflicting with the medicines that I've got in me.
Doc says it's cool. You can go have a beer.
Yeah, it's weird. Every medicine I've got, if you look up the description, every one of them always has some comment about whether you can drink it with alcohol.
Sure.
It's like, God, people must be alcoholics. They get drugs.
Yeah.
It's that they always have to say something about it.
Yeah.
Or if they say consult your doctor, that means like, yeah, fuck that.
Right.
What about cookies? Are you still getting to consume tasty cookies?
No, I stopped doing the, I just do the CBD side of that now.
Okay.
Not that it makes any difference.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't get high on the weed anymore.
Interesting. Look at you, a new guy.
Turning over a new leaf.
I'm certainly getting high in beer, by the way. Yeah.
So check this out, Tasty. Jamil and I were talking the other day.
Oh,
and every one of us has issues, right? We all have these health issues now. And Jamil and I came up with a theory. And it's Pacheco.
We got contaminated.
The common ground is how much time we spent in that goddamn garage in Pacheco.
It's all that carpeting on the ceiling.
you mean the asbestos carpet tiles that I brought in
and the lead paint?
And we're all falling ill. And he, of course, Jamil is always the one who points his things out. So he thinks there's a class action suit coming down the pipe.
I'll sign up. So loaded, that'd be great. I'll be there.
Yeah. You can have my bicycle.
An endless pile of money there.
That's right.
Pile of shit.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We'll just keep talking to you. And
glad to hear myself in my headphones.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you sound great.
Thank you.
Everyone, you look fantastic.
Everyone's going to be
this
happy.
This is twice in one week.
You went to Sully's party.
I was there for their August Fest.
Yes,
okay. It's a great event. Mm-hmm. It's their third one, and I was there at the first one. That's where they released the original. Tasty IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then this year they did the third.
He had Tasty on again.
Yep.
And I was there to not tap the keg, but I was there to, like, you know, wave to the crowd.
Crack the can.
You tasted some out of the fermenter. And
we tasted it out of the Bright Tank.
Nice.
And the fermenter, both.
I love that beer.
We got the brewery tour for sure.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And Dave Hoppett was there.
Okay.
Dave was my driver that day.
Yeah.
I can't drive because I had
a driver.
Something out of my head. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
That's how you know you've made it, when you have a driver.
I mean, really, we should have had a driver for you for all these years, Tasty. You should have made more demands.
Just to get me home.
Not for that. Just because you deserve it.
All right. Make a note when that's there.
Dear Mr. Hopwood.
And my contract.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Tasty's a great beer, too, so very nice. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you, Tasty.
That's a great beer. I'm glad to be part of that.
So last couple beers in our glass here tonight from Long Beach Beer Lab. We've got your Helles, which is out of a can. Is this a Kvike Helles?
No. This is 3470, so the Weinstephan.
Okay.
Lager yeast.
Oh, yeah.
7 week lager.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a great Helles. Light. Yeah. It's a light Helles, right?
Yeah. We go light.
Yeah.
We also have a version of it that is 7.1.
So, whoa. Yeah, it's a
percent big alcohol?
Seven. Yeah. So we do a big brew, and then we'll back liquor.
Okay.
Yeah, because people come into our place and they ask us, what do you have that's like Modelo? So this is the beer that we give them.
I see.
Usually. Sure.
You know what? That's a great idea. And give it to them and say, we have this and it's better. Is what you should say.
Exactly.
It's like Modelo, but good.
Right.
Yeah. Better than Modelo.
I'll drink a Modelo every now and then, actually. But this is better. Yeah.
Yeah. We get a lot of that.
So this is the small beer off of the.
So we'll brew.
What's the mother beer? I guess.
The mother beer. I call it a Maybach.
It's called the Big Rigs.
A Helles Bock.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
It's called Big Rigs. This one's called Rigs. The neighborhood that we're in is called Wrigley.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
So it's a neighborhood beer. So the 7.2. is the big one, and then we go down to about 4 or 5 on this one.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. And
it's nice.
Yeah, we produce this one pretty consistently.
Yeah. This is
it's year-round?
Yeah,
year-round. This is one of our best sellers.
The Maybach only comes around, you know, seasonally.
Oh, okay.
And in May.
As it does.
Yeah.
Typically.
This is where you draw the tradition line, Levi?
Maybach comes out in May.
Now you got to stick to your guns.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really has to do with, like, the board, how the board's looking.
Okay.
You know, what the gaps we need to fill.
Need a beer for everybody when they walk in.
If we're getting
a beer for
them. Yeah, we were talking to Sully about this, but yeah, we make traditional IPAs for the board, stouts.
People drink them, you should make them.
Yeah. I think the Kvike thing is something that we're doing to try and keep up with, you know, and we're going to get there. I'm going to tell you.
I believe you.
You're gonna taste them, and we're gonna be there, and I'll have the formula down.
You're almost there, man. Don't take any of this the wrong way. You're almost there. I believe you. You would have liked this a lot, Tasty. Well, if you could taste anything.
Now he's just E.
It's cold and wet. I like it.
and
it has alcohol.
One of the Pilsner that's on tap out there is one of their Kvike beers, and I drank it before you guys were ever even here today, and I was like, wow, it's a good Pilsner, and ferment at 100 degrees, so.
100 degrees for how long?
For one day.
Seriously, and done.
And it's
Tasty.
Done.
I know Tasty's like leaning back in the chair right now.
Sounds like the way I do sex.
One day.
For one whole day?
Wow.
1 whole minute. That's pretty good. Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Just real short and sweet is what he does.
Turn the thermostat up to 100.
That's a short but impactful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It finishes fast.
That's on tap here tonight?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lucky me.
Yeah.
Great.
I do have, so you said you'll do traditional IPA too. I've got a West Coast IPA in my glass that is clear.
Clear beer. You can see, I can see your fingers through it.
Fined, filtered. Fined, okay, yeah. And a great West Coast IPA.
Thank you.
And this one's Cal Ale though. It's
Cal Ale.
Not Quebec, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, in our board, we have 24 taps and we are pretty much all over the board. I think that's what people, they come into our place and that's what they like.
I believe that.
There's something for everybody. We got a light and crisp, a hoppy and bitter, a dark and roasty, and a sour and fruity. Those are kind of like our categories, and we put everything in the box, 24, and they're pretty much split evenly, like 5, 5, 5, and something.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like a good plan. Plus the food to go with it.
Yeah.
The food. And, yeah, we try and make beers. Sometimes when we make like...
Again.
We'll do like pastry stouts with Fike in like 9 days, and then we'll put out like a cinnamon roll one.
Right. So
and then
because
we'll pair
we have
it with
the kitchen
rolls.
Also, whenever we do a can release or we do a beer release, we do a pairing dessert.
Oh, nice.
So people can come in and get a taster or a six pack with, you know. It's food.
I love that.
So
peanut butter cookies
with peanut butter stout,
cinnamon roll.
Yeah,
see, and you
German
can do
chocolate cake.
Oh, the German chocolate cake was great.
We do this at our Fort Collins Hop Grenade. We have Friday night flights, and
nice.
But we have to team up with local artisans because we don't do it all in house.
Right.
But our most popular ones when we do it are always desserts like that. People just love it. Great pairing with beer.
It's a nightcap,
yeah.
You know? A lot
yeah.
of people go out to dinner somewhere else, and they come to get a flight of beers and something sweet to share with, you know, between two people. And I think that's a great experience for people.
Yeah.
It's something that we could do that other breweries can't do or some other bars can't do, you know?
So, right.
Which
so almost everything I would consume at Long Beach Beer Lab is made at Long Beach Beer Lab.
From
is
scratch.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, from scratch also, yeah. Wow.
So 24 taps of your all beers you make?
Pretty much.
So when you have to look at the lineup and go like, okay, we're going to need more of this, more of that.
Yeah,
so we can, because we have a kitchen, we can have guest taps. So if there type of lag time with beers being ready, then we call our friends, then we try to get some guest taps.
Yeah, if we need an IPA, we'll put it on. Cider, so one of those taps is cider.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
we can make cider.
Because everyone wants something gluten-free.
Yeah.
How many fermenters do you have? That's still a lot of taps.
So,
10 barrels.
I'm glad you asked that, Beardy.
I'm very glad that you're glad that I asked that.
We have 6 fermenters, 5 10s, 120. But I have 30 IBC totes.
30 IBC totes.
Yeah.
Are they temperature controlled, conical?
Who needs temperature control?
Right.
Where we're going.
We've gone through.
Where we're going. Right. temperature control.
There's a beer name.
Yeah, we make a lot of beer in the IBC totes. And they're cheap.
I'm looking at a pretty wide variety right now.
And we're done, we throw them away.
Oh, single use even.
Well, I mean, they turn into spent grain totes.
For your farmer.
Wait, so is your mash tun a rotating mash? So you're not even reusing.
Well, we reuse it a couple of times and then.
Okay. Wow.
And we move on.
Interesting. Institute of Funk, G-Funk era, Wild IPA.
Oh, that's the one you would love.
Really?
That's the one he was describing before.
Okay. Wild IPA with massive notes of funk and a touch of citrus. Oh, and you said this too, like the big cheese and tropical hop in there. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mother's Helper, an imperial stout with maple and vanilla.
And we did that for Mother's Day, and we paired it with pancakes.
Wow.
With that beer as a reduction, like a syrup.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you had like a pancake brunch on Mother's Day?
Yeah, we opened up early. Yeah. People love
beer
it.
Is that
a hit? I bet.
Oh, single mothers with...
Single
mothers coming in with 12...
Specifically?
With 12%... pastry stouts. I will never get that picture out of my head.
I love it.
Them sitting there feeding their kids pancakes while they're down.
How did you know that they were single?
Because they said they were.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like you're watching a channel that we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Anyways.
Backstory's important.
You've made an Italian soda?
So that's non-alcoholic, and yeah. We make our own simple syrups, and we do different flavors depending on what we have, and just a nice option for
we
people.
We get that question a lot. What do you have that's not alcoholic?
We also do a nitro coffee. I don't know if it's on right now, but we do a nitro coffee for people as well.
Oh, yeah, I see that right now.
We have actually a really funny story with the nitro coffee, but I don't know if.
Yeah.
What?
When we first opened, there was a guy, I think, that thought...
Single father?
Yes, exactly. No.
We're all
single
fathers.
No,
was
he was married. I think he thought it was a stout. Okay. And he would always order it. And One day, his friend came up and said, oh, give me an IPA, and my friend's drinking the stout. And I said, I don't have a stout on tap right now. He goes, no, the coffee stout. So then I said, oh, but that's just coffee. Yeah. There's no alcohol in it. And I guess he was saying how messed up he was from the stout.
Oh. And I think he was having heart palpitations.
Right.
Right.
That's like
yeah.
drinking pints.
You
of
know
coffee.
What, though?
He's stroking out.
Okay, wait. As a scientist, though, there's a thing to the placebo effect, right?
Like, oh, yeah, totally.
Like, that's a real phenomenon.
Yeah, especially if you're getting some sort of effect and you. A pint of coffee will do that.
Sure, and if he had six of them, he's like, I can't even drive.
Well,
so then his wife came in and was like, I like this. Like, this place is great.
No, but after that...
He goes home, he does all his chores.
Right.
Oh, right.
After he found out it wasn't stout, he would not order the coffee again and only would have IPA. And then shortly after, his wife said he wasn't allowed to come back.
So. Get him back on the coffee.
So his friend ruined it for him.
Yeah. But essentially.
This is the Truman Show effect. Like, just let him live his little dream and he'll be fine.
Right?
What a shitty friend.
The world is hard enough.
Yeah.
Knowing your coffee is not beer.
By the way, I'm the first friend that would do that. I throw Beardy under the bus the fastest I ever can. So. Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
You probably have a few things in your queue right now. Ready to crush my world with.
He saves them.
He'd back up over you, too.
I don't yet, but I do want to get through our Twitter game. Now, normally I say goodbye right now and thank you all, but since you're going to hang out, I'm going to do that all at the end. Is that okay? Or do you want me to do it like, you want me to like wrap it up right now so you have like a little neat package?
No, we don't.
I don't like neat packages.
For your book.
We don't need a neat
that we can't
package.
Talk about.
Yeah. Nothing's neat here.
All right, let's do our Twitter game.
Don't talk about
and then
the
we
package.
Can we could have a little more fun.
All right.
So our Twitter game was JP's out.
Right. The reason he's out is because he's so embarrassed the last 2 weeks that he couldn't come up with a Twitter game.
Okay. Oh,
so we're trying to help him get back.
Got it. I need paper. Hang on.
There's Post-its right there.
All right.
Post-it.
Here we go.
All right. Some people misunderstood, I think, and were coming up with actual ideas. Or game ideas that we could do, like people call in.
Oh, so not a new Twitter game, just a new game.
They wanted to bring back games.
That's okay.
Yeah. I didn't include any of those because they're dumb.
Because they didn't follow directions?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. TN Brewing says, an Instagram game in which the winner comes from the cleanest beer that they're drinking. So they post a picture of the clearest beer.
Clearest.
Whoever's clearest wins.
So that's not a Twitter game. That is a Twitter game. That's an Instagram game.
Well, you can link them together. I was kind of giving him.
I thought you weren't doing anything but Twitter games. Anyway, clear beer on Instagram. Got it.
Social media works where they can share across platform, Justin.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Sounds like a production meeting offline.
Yeah.
Just Instagram me. It'll be fine. You have 120 characters.
Okay.
Edmund says.
Facetagram?
I think that's the one.
Facebook.
Okay. Instagram.
That's what he would call it now.
Facetagram?
Yeah, it's trending.
Yeah. It's better than Twitster.
Yeah, it's trending on AOL. Check it out. Edmund says, bring back the classic, what number am I thinking of?
I remember that game.
That was a classic.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there might have been a reason it went away, too.
Yeah.
Joe Homebrewer says, which brewcaster has the least anal leakage?
Oh, okay.
How do you measure that?
Yeah, the scientists in the room, how do you measure that?
Right. You got to turn in your biology.
Just turn in your underwear.
We wait till Levi's back.
You collect it in a graduated cylinder.
Independent field.
See, Levi already is like, if you want to be accurate,
right.
You collect it in a graduated cylinder.
And we carry them through the hop grenade to the studio.
Send it to the lab.
Yeah. Okay.
See, Josh says, find Ian Titus.
Great one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Find him.
Find him.
It's like a Where's Waldo thing.
Find exactly. Ian Titus. Who is Ian Titus?
Find him.
I hope we never meet Ian Titus.
I think that that was spelled out.
It's going to ruin.
First time he sent an email, we're like,
we never want to meet you. You're going to ruin the mystique.
Yep.
Oh, is that a real person?
It's a real person who writes in the best feedback. They're always like two sentences, and they just cut right to the chase, and they're usually drunken, and we love them. We just love them.
Yeah.
But we feel like if we were to put a face to that, it would ruin. Like, often, like when people meet us after listening to the podcast for years, they're like, oh.
He sounded a lot more handsome.
No wonder you're on a podcast.
Right.
You have a
behind
face
the veil.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Austin says, now that Schumann is a dad many times over, what's in Schumann's mouth?
Oh, great game. That's a good one. That was a good game.
So really, I guess they didn't come up with new ideas.
Right.
They're just bringing back old ones.
But you did ask it to be a JP game, so it kind of fits. Bring back rehashed old ideas.
That's all he does?
That's what JP would do. I feel like they followed your instructions.
All right.
Part of the course.
I was hoping Twitter would be creative for once.
Okay, well, I'm just going to I'm gonna pick the winner this week. I mean, it's obviously find Ian Titus.
Yes. Right.
That's our Twitter game winner.
He's a winner.
Yeah. But then not tell us where he is.
Yes,
just find him.
We don't want to just find him. And, prove that you know.
Right.
That's it.
Leave him status quo.
All right. Well done, whoever that was.
That was Josh. Good job, Josh.
All right.
You could have said anything with Ian Titus in it, and he would have won.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the new Chechnya.
He is. He's a better Chechnya.
He is.
You guys ever been backpacking across Chechnya? Like, you guys, two of you have been everywhere.
Yeah. Not yet. That's not yet.
One of them was a hang glider instructor. they were running like
that one time.
A goat farm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We were at the resort in Sudan.
That's where we met.
Now, with the opening of the business, do you feel like you're going to get to do travels again, or you've now ruined your life because you have to be at a business for the rest of your life?
Well, so now any of our travels are business-related.
Okay, yeah. And you have people now that can kind of run the show for a few days.
We have really reliable people that are amazing.
That's great.
They're getting more amazing every day.
Yes, we're very thankful for our
people. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, like she said, it's workcations. But we're here, aren't we?
You're here. I like it. Both of you at once, even.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
That's nice.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for all the beer that you brought in. It was just wonderful and interesting to talk about. I think there's going to be several follow-up episodes with you two. I like what you're doing, and we're going to have you're going to have to keep coming back with like, okay, I think I'm even closer. Check it out.
Check it out.
Because I'm happy to check it out. I think you're close already. So good stuff, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
What is it? LB
Beer.
LBbeer.com.
Yeah.
You can go check it out. You can go, if you're going to happen to be down at the California Craft Beer Summit, you can go visit. They're in Long Beach.
5 minutes away.
Oh, cool. I'm going to come down at the end of September and visit y'all. I'll send you a little note so you know I'm coming.
Hell yeah.
You close up shop or whatever you have to say.
Right. You're right. We'll do all the things,
for
sure. Yeah. Clean the railings.
Are you guys selling spirits down there yet, or just
We really just started the distillery for a sustainability reason. So probably, I mean, we want to taste the barrels after 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah. We're not in a hurry.
Yeah, we're not in a hurry.
Oh, you're not doing Quebec type spirits?
We have barrels, and we're filling them slowly. And then maybe one day there'll be a club. Maybe we'll do some tasting dinners.
Nice.
It's a license to distill.
Yeah.
I like it.
The business will follow.
And why not? Why not? Actually, you guys are going to be artisan sweater makers soon. You guys a little bit of organic.
Please.
I mean slow.
Local. Right. Local organic slow
sweaters.
Free range sweaters. Yeah.
It's got legs, man. We're coming up with some good marketing for you tonight.
These are all free, by the way.
We're going to get the bill later.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
What was Sully's crafted kosher or something?
Crafted to be kosher.
Crafted to be kosher, yeah.
I like that one.
Trademark that quick. Yeah.
I feel like he might have a notepad somewhere.
Yeah, Sully's sneaky like that. Yeah.
Well, when I said that, I sent it to my lawyer, so you're going to have to
Pay
more, so.
Every time great stuff happens on the show with Sully, I get a cease and desist the next day from Sully's lawyer.
Excuse me, when you said that on the show, Mr. O'Sullivan said that you...
Yeah, yeah. And what's next for you, Tasty? You're just hanging out?
Next?
And,
I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah. Yeah. You got
That's
kids.
Great advice, by the way.
Your kids around?
I'm going to go to the Drake's anniversary party on Saturday, if anybody wants to join me there.
Excellent. 30 years of beer.
That's a long time.
The Jubilee? Yeah. Or what is it called?
Do you already have your ride?
I'll get there. Yes, I have a ride. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
That job's taken.
All right. And so are you finding yourself bored? Are you finding yourself busy?
I spend a lot of time just at home, not feeling well.
Okay.
And I'm not bored.
Do you just sleep during that time?
Yeah, I don't go like, man, I'm freaking bored. I got to get out of here. No,
I wish I could go snowboarding right now.
Are you binge watching anything in particular when these things happen?
Cable news. I'm all over that shit.
Oh, you are?
Oh.
I didn't know you were a cable news guy.
Yeah. Huh. Do that.
They should have me on there. I could be a good talking head for sure.
Yeah. Okay. You like just critiquing their commentary?
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. All the ladies are having babies. I know the babies' names, and it's great.
Oh my goodness.
I had no idea the side of you.
That should have been the Twitter game.
No, it's like Daytime TV. Watch? Come on.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need a new show where Tasty's critiquing daytime cable news.
I think
like
you're
my
right.
own, like,
like a Twitch channel or
Twitch
something.
Twitch
channel.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. It doesn't even need to be edited. Just live stream, man.
Look at the eye makeup on this woman.
On this guy on those shows too.
If you got disheveled anyway,
like wow,
yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely critique the makeup in general. The dudes.
That's my life.
Okay, yeah.
You're not watching like The Godfather or Stranger Things.
No, I've got on Netflix. I got all this. I don't know. You just
don't care. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Occupies my mind.
Yeah,
that's good
enough. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy to see you in this studio in general.
Yeah, it's been
awesome. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're welcome anytime, and you
know that.
So this is a very nice surprise. So I appreciate you doing that for us.
Sure.
The listeners love to hear your voice. I've been giving them little updates, even in the feedback today.
Well, thanks for doing that.
You're welcome. I got a feedback today that just said, "Hey, thanks for the Tasty updates. We want to know."
That's cool.
So people want to know what's up with you. All right, well, let's go have a beer with you after this, huh?
I'm down for that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to Long Beach Beer Lab, both of you, Levi and Harmony. I appreciate you making this trek up here and doing it in the studio.
Thank you.
Great
Thank
story,
you.
Great beer.
Thank you.
Agreed. And it's always better when the folks are in the studio. Beardy?
You can have that, by the way, that great beer is great story. That's free.
I have a feeling it's not going to be so free tomorrow.
We'll work it out.
Yeah, he's trademarking that.
Yeah.
It all gets worked out.
Before you get home.
Beardy, do you need me to, are we good? No closing things or?
I mean, I would just like to say hi to my family.
Oh, God.
And my friends.
Aww.
Nobody cares.
I don't have any of those.
Including your family.
You don't have the JP sign-off stuff?
No, Justin won't give me that stuff to read.
I don't have it. JP has it's not. You know, I just let him do it to like to so he has a thing anyway.
Oh, that's like a radio thing.
It's what
like,
Justin is really saying is he enjoys it.
Thank
JP,
you, Sully.
If you're listening at home,
no way he's listening.
Sully's my interpreter. I love that. Remember when Key and Peele did that? It was great.
I feel like you should have it memorized by now.
Yeah. When are you leaving us? When am I done with you?
When are you finally free of me?
Because Beardy's also moving, and I don't know when your last show is. I don't know if there's a last show.
It might be within the next month, actually.
Okay, so I might have you for another month.
Might, yeah.
Or I might not.
I guess you have to tune in next week and find out.
Great. Every
Beardy,
week.
Do you have a plan? Do you know what you're going to do?
I'm living it day by day. I'm going to wake up tomorrow.
I'm just trying to save money on the after show food. You know, I just want to know when you're not here. I don't have to feed you anymore.
Oh, okay. Well,
I could just stop feeding him.
Right. He'll slowly disappear.
Yeah, like now.
Did Bevo even remember to get food tonight?
Obviously, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, food is not something Bevo forgets.
She usually gets the cheese platter from the Hop Grenade here, so she's not hungry.
All right.
Cut me deep.
So you're not gone now.
Fine, tonight's my last night. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, Beardy, been nice hanging with you, buddy.
Yeah. Tasty's back. Beardy's gone. What a great show, ladies
Upgrade.
And All right, we're going to get out of here now. Thanks again to Long Beach Beer Lab. You can go to lbbeer.com and learn about them. Read the About page. You'll learn a little something about how awesome these folks are. There's some cool photos on the page. You can check it out. You can find out what's on tap. You can learn about the bakery. You can get everything you need over at lbbeer.com. While you're on the interwebs, go to 21st-amendment.com. You can learn all about the 21st Amendment, which I noticed you have a new website.
Yeah.
At least new to me. I haven't looked at it in maybe a month or so.
It's been up there for about 5 months.
Okay.
But thanks for mentioning it.
Great website. That was cool. I liked it.
Thank you.
21st-amendment.com. Find Beardy on things, and Bebo does things, and Tasty's doing great now. He's here, and we're happy to see him. And,
oh, thank you.
And we'll see you soon. Hope and so. Next week on the show, Hop Revolution, straight out of New Zealand.
That's right.
Yes, straight out of New Zealand. They're going to come talk to us about a new hop project, the largest project ever in New Zealand.
In studio.
In hops. And they will be in studio, yeah. They're not like some of you other janky guests who, oh no, the song's over. Some of you janky guests who like call in and don't, not like Levi and Harmony who drive up and
yeah.
And Jason from Hop Revolution and Susan, they're going to fly in from New Zealand.
Yeah. People who know how important we are come to see us in person.
That's right. Now we're going to end just abruptly. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
JP, you asshole.